Welcome to WXPN Coach's Corner here, the Quakers' first game of the 1982 season versus the Dartmouth Big Green. I'm Paul Jolovitz, along with head coach Jerry Burnt of the Quakers. Coach Burnt, first I'd like to welcome you to Coach's Corner and hope for a productive year. Last year, your first year at the Quakers' home, you were 1-9. It was a tough year to endure, but now you have your system in motion a year behind you and under your belt. And what do you look for as the strengths and weaknesses of this year's Quaker team?
Well, thank you, Paul. First of all, let me say that I'm pleased to again be here on Coach's Corner. And looking forward to the 1982 season, I can't hardly believe that 1 year has passed since we actually started this, this whole football program here. I'm kind of coming off the merry-go-round ride, I guess, that I was on for approximately a year and a half. Obviously, we are very excited, very enthused about the coming season. We feel right now that we have a much better product to give the entire University of Pennsylvania community and family, and feel that week in and week out we have an opportunity to be competitive on Saturday afternoons, and feel also at this point that we have a much better football team without ever playing a game. We have a much better football team right now than we had at any stage of the season last year.
Coach Burn, alluding to that, the much better football team, also a more experienced one. There's 16 returning starters on this team, and that has to give you a little extra security coming into your first game. An inexperienced team maybe would feel a little bit nervous or uptight about the game, but all the returning starters, do you think this will help the transition smoothly into the new year?
Well, I believe that's true. First of all, the fact that our coaches know all the players on the squad, with the exception of one transfer student this year. The players know us. The players have been in our program now, for all of them, for a year. They know the system. They know the philosophies. They know the disciplines. They know what is expected of them. They know the techniques that we're asking them to use. It's such a drastic change from what happened last year. Everyone was new last year, and it was just sometimes a difficult task just to line them up in the right places, let alone have them do the right things once they were there. So that's a very positive feeling at this point. On the other hand, when you say we have 16 starters returning, this afternoon, for example, not all of those people who started last year will, in fact, be starting the football game today. An example, Steve Rubin and John Shirk were starters last year at tailback, both splitting starting duties. John Shirk, unfortunately, was lost for us for the entire season, and had a knee injury during preseason camp. And it's a very unfortunate accident for John, because he's one of the hardest workers we had in the team, worked exceptionally hard in the offseason, and his leadership and his ability will be missed throughout this year. Steve Rubin, who was the other starter, has had a spotty performance in preseason. Steve Flacco, who was a tailback, that actually was a starter as a sophomore and only played the opening kickoff, I might add, at Dartmouth, actually 3 seasons ago, has looked very good at tailback. However, the starter this afternoon will be a sophomore, Steve Ortman, who was a leading rusher on a freshman team last year and has really come along like gangbusters and has beaten out then a returning starter this year. We are pleased that we have experience at some key positions. Offensive line, for example, is a key spot for us. And with four starters returning and a young man that will be in there who was actually beating one of our starters out that played a couple of years ago also, gives us a great deal of depth and experience in the offensive line. Our defensive line is very experienced. On the other hand, there are a couple of key positions that we are very young. Our safety spot, for example, there will be two sophomores that will be playing today at safety. Our inside linebacker position, 3 out of the 4 top people at inside linebacker are sophomores. We probably will have some mistakes that will happen during the course of the ball game in these positions. However, we feel they're skilled enough athletically and can run well enough maybe to compensate from some of the mistakes they will make. Overall, we're very pleased with the fact that we have a fairly experienced football team.
Coach, alluding to that experience, one position where it seems especially important is the quarterback spot. An experienced quarterback guides the team, he runs the offense, and generally sets the tone for the game. And this year, Gary Vura, being a senior, having the quarterback job seemingly to himself, at least at the start of the year, as opposed to last year, when he was platooned with senior Doug Marzoni, how do you feel that this extra job security, if I might say, will have an effect on Gary's performance?
Well, I must contradict you a little bit there, Paul. Gary did not have the job when he came to camp. Gary was listed as our number one quarterback when we came to camp. However, we made him very well aware of the fact that we felt there were some younger quarterbacks behind him who had the capability of playing for us. And Gary had to do a lot of work last year and this summer and through preseason to actually earn the spot. We are very pleased with Gary Vuehr's development. We feel that Gary kind of has picked up where he left off at the Brown game last year, and that was a stage where we had made a decision to start Gary Vuehr, and Gary came in and played two series and severely sprained his ankle in that game and was really never the same the rest of the year, and he had that ankle operated on in the wintertime. So we felt that Gary had the potential, but you don't win with potential, you win with performance. Gary had the potential to be a good quarterback for us, and it was just a matter of him coming back really ready to play, and he did. He's stronger right now. He's quicker right now, a little faster right now. He's throwing the ball exceptionally well. The 1 year underneath our system as a quarterback has helped immensely. Also, the things that we are asking him to do, the checkoffs and the reads and various phases of the option game, and Gary has clearly won the starting position and is far ahead of any other quarterback candidate. I might add, however, a pleasant surprise at the quarterback position is Fred Raffitti. And Fred was a junior college transfer from Malibu, California. Fred came in listed as our sixth quarterback and at this game has worked his way up to our second quarterback.
Thank you very much, Coach. A little bit different this year from last year is the Quakers going to training camp at so-called Camp Penn in the Poconos. Being at a camp isolated in a way such as this tends more to focus on football and less on the outside activities that being in a city like Philadelphia might. Do you feel that this has helped the attitude of the team get ready for the football season? Do you feel that they're more single-minded in their approach to football, maybe didn't let some distractions get in their way that they might have last year or previous years?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I'm very pleased that the university administration allowed us the opportunity to take a squad off campus. I think it's a very clear indication, again, of the kind of commitment that the athletic administration and the administration of the university and College Hall and Franklin Building have given to the football program. Camp Penn, or as some of our players have called it, Camp Blood. Some other players tabbed it Camp Granada. And we called it the University of Pennsylvania 1982 Football Country Club. So it was quite an experience. I'll be very honest with you. I was very apprehensive about taking our football squad off campus. I've never done that as a player. I've never done that as a coach. I have many anxious moments. In the end, after we look back at it and assess and evaluate what happened, we're already making plans to do it again next year. It was a great experience, a worthwhile experience. It's a kind of experience I think that we needed in our football program to bring this team together. We got off campus. We got away. There was nothing around Camp Canadensis for our players to do other than football. And we lived in cabins side by side. They could roll out of their bunks onto the practice field. They could roll out of their bunks into the dining hall. We had various different meeting rooms throughout the camp. And I think it's the kind of thing we needed to bring this football team together. We were selling our squad all along on team unity and developing as a team and not a group of individuals. And this is the kind of thing that will really, I believe, will make us together and unite the team.
Coach, a possible evidence of the camp uniting the team, making a stronger unit, the fact that you defeated Montclair State in your inaugural scrimmage this year, 24-17, that has to have a positive effect on the team. It gets them in the winning mood and sort of sets the tone for the season. Did you see anything positive coming out of the scrimmage, anything negative maybe? But
well, I might add, we that Saturday, September the 4th, was kind of a unique day in Penn football history, because we played two football games on the same day. We had a game against Ursinus in the morning with our varsity reserve players, and we had a game with Montclair State in the afternoon with our varsity players. And we won two football games in one day. The last time we won two football games in a season was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, let alone win two football games in one day. So that kind of was a historic event, I guess, in Penn football. We were overall pleased with the outcome of both of those scrimmages. Montclair State is a team that came in here last year and physically handled us a little bit and had returning almost intact their entire offense and defensive units. I think they came in a little bit overconfident. I think they expected to come in here and pretty much handle us like they did last year. Our squad was ready to play, although we were a total week behind in preparation for Montclair State. I mean, they were actually into game week at that point. So we'd only been in pads, actually, for 4 days prior to that scrimmage. We went after them. We hit Montclair State very hard. Some of our inexperience at inside linebacker did show at times because Montclair State has a very sophisticated passing game, and they took advantage of that a little bit. But I thought our defense overall held up very well. We shut down the running game totally, and our offense moved the ball when it had to move the ball. You know, I'm always a little guarded about scrimmages because I mean we played two units almost split the time in that. I know Montclair State played a lot of their second unit in there also. You never know how things would turn out if you played your starting unit most of the way. We were concerned, however, with the fact that we were afforded four scoring opportunities by the defense with the ball inside Montclair State's 30-yard line and only converted one of those. So we needed to work a little bit more on our inside, deep inside offense.
Coach Brown, thank you very much. Now turning to today's game against Dartmouth, the Big Green, can't really let this talk go by without mentioning that you spent 8 years here in Hanover as an assistant to head coach Joe Ukeka at Dartmouth, and because of that, does this game, being your first trip back since you came to Penn from DePaul, does this game have any extra added significance for you? And I understand a couple other members of your coaching staff that also were here in Hanover previously.
Well, I said that, after all, this is just another football game. I mean, I did coach there for 8.5 years. Larry McRivey was there for a year and a half. Wayne Donner was there for 5 years, two of our coaches. They're co-defending champions, coming off another winning season, return the best paper offense in the league. We are coming off losing 9 consecutive football games. It's just another football game, right? No, that's not really true. This is not another football game. It'll be very exciting for me to go back to Hanover. It'll be my first time back there in 4 years. I'm looking forward to it immensely. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to put the 1982 version of Pennsylvania football on the field. We feel that if we go out there and play the kind of game that we're capable of playing, that the Big Green will give them all they can handle and can walk off the field a victor. You'll have to also consider the fact we have not won an away football game since 1976. We've defeated Princeton at Princeton, New Jersey, 10-9 in 1976, and since that time, I don't know exactly how many games we have lost, but it's a big string of football games we've lost on the road. I don't know whether you call it a jinx or not, all right? Because I know we haven't won very many football games in that span of time anyways. I know in 1977, however, we won 5 games and lost 4, and all 4 games on the road we did lose. So we made our squad very well aware of the fact that we have lost so many games on the road, and this squad has an opportunity to make history, and that is win the first football game away since 1976, and also to be known as a football team that got it started here at the University of Pennsylvania. Dartmouth is a very fine squad. As I said, they return almost every starter in offense. They're very young defensively. But traditionally, Dartmouth has always played very well defensively. And we know that they'll put a very fine defense on the field that will come after us and hit us. We feel a key to our game today is how then our defense will play. And particularly play against Dartmouth's run. Dartmouth is primarily a 75% run team. Right? And it's going to be very important for Scott Boggio, our defensive end, for David Smith, a defensive end, for Jimmy Miller and Jerry McFadden, tackles, Bill Liston, Joe Lorenz, nose guards, for these people to play the run very well. It'll be very important for George Lewis, an inside linebacker, for Matt Finn, an inside linebacker, for Joe Grabmeier, an inside linebacker. Two of those people, I might add, are sophomores, for them to play the run well. be very important for Mike Cristiani to come off the corner and play as Mike Cristiani is capable of playing. It'll be very important for Jim Dunphy to hang in there and play as Jim Dunphy did at the end of the season last year. And that'll be important for our secondary, John Waterfield and Mike Okun on the corners, and with Tim Chambers backing them up to support the run well and make sure that they defend the pass. And, of course, it's important for our two safeties, Ross Armstrong and Keenan Nix, both sophomores, to make sure that we get the right calls, we're lined properly, and they really have to defend the pass very well. I think the key to our game today will be really in how our defense plays.
Coach Byrne, just to remind the Quaker fans, of course, last year in Philadelphia, Dartmouth defeated the Quakers 33-13 on their way to a co-share of the Ivy League title. Now that you go to Hanover, as you mentioned, Dartmouth has a very experienced offense, but they are losing 10 starters on defense. Only Captain Dave Neslin, the linebacker, is returning. And seeing as how Carl Hall showed the ability to get deep versus Cornell last year, and how defensive back Charles Williams for Dartmouth, an all-East selection in many football polls last year, has graduated, and they could be a little frail at the corner. Do you feel that your receivers, Carl Hall, Rich Sirik, John Mysteria, and other speedy Quakers can exploit the Dartmouth secondary?
Well, we feel that we have a good offensive unit. I think the development of Gary Buehr continues to be a very important cog in our offensive machine. We feel we have as much depth in our backfield as any team in the league. I mentioned three tailbacks, and we feel all three of them are very fine tailbacks. Rick Amos will start at fullback, and he's backed up by Chuck Nolan. Both of those are very fine fullbacks and can run and block on the corner. Our receiving core, led by Carl Hall last year, is very quick. Rich Sirik will not start today. Rich has been hampered a little bit with shin splints and with a dislocation of a finger. Jim O'Toole, a sophomore, will start in Rich's spot. Rich will certainly see plenty of action. Jeff Schulte, our tight end, who I really feel is the best tight end in the league, has had a great preseason practice, has caught the ball exceptionally well, and we're going to utilize Jeff Schulte a lot more in the passing game this year. I think you'll find that our short passing game is going to really complement our intermediate and long game much better this year. We've designed some passes, particularly to take advantage of linebacker drops and things that people do with getting their linebackers and outside people to 8 to 10 yards deep. And I think you can expect to see us exploit the underneath coverage a little bit more than what we did last year. I think that, again, the development of Gary Buehr at quarterback will help that. And we feel very pleased then with our receiving core and with our backfield situation. It really is going to come down with how our offensive line handles the Dartmouth multiple defenses. Chris DeMaria, I think, is as fine a center as you'll find in the league. We really feel Chris DeMaria is the best center in the league. He is ably backed up by Joe Smales, a sophomore. Joe will see action today. One tackle will find John McInerney. This is his third year to start for us. And he's a very fine tackle. The other tackle will be Mark Hembrill. Mark's the biggest player in our squad, 6'6", about 245, and has had a fine preseason. Kind of a pleasant surprise to us is James Thornton at 6'5", 250. James is a fellow that hasn't played football for 3 years here. And came out this year and with a renewed vigor, and he's had a series of nagging injuries and has played very, very well at tackle. James will be in there at times. Our guard situation we feel very confident with the things that happened at guard. Our two starters from last year, Terry Glantz and Vince Ostrowski, are both back. However, at this stage, Vince has been beaten out by Jamie Keel for a starting position. Jamie was a starter for us 2 years ago and wasn't able to play last year. In our other position, Chris Bobner has been hampered with a very severely sprained ankle, so it looks as if Tom Galley will back up Terry Glantz. We feel that our offensive line is very solid, and they're pretty experienced, and we feel that their continued development in handling Dartmouth's multiple fronts will have a great deal to do with how well we run the ball. A priority for us this year is to run the ball better than we did last year. Our running game was very poor last year, and we feel we've got to establish the run a little bit more, and we feel if we do that, it'll open up some of our passing lanes.
Coach, from a personal standpoint, it seems to me that the Quakers, as with most other teams, when they score first, the game starts to flow a lot more for the Quakers. The confidence level rises. They seem to take charge on offense and defense. When they fall behind early, it seems to dispirit the team sometimes, and they tend to get blown out when they fall behind early. What do you feel is the key to a quick start by this year's 1982 Quakers, especially in the Dartmouth game? Do you feel they need to take chances on offense right away, maybe see if you can put some points on the board early and make the big green play catch up? Would you rather just see how it goes, take a game plan into the game and stick by it no matter what happens?
Well, first of all, I'd like to not let them score and score in our first series. That would be nice, right? If we receive the opening kickoff, I'd like to see us break the opening kickoff all the way back. That would be good. If we don't do that, let's take the first series and move it down the field and put some points on the board, kick off, and let them fumble and go into the end zone with it, right? I could see that all happen. That would be an ideal way to start a football game. I really feel we came back enough last year that this football team knows that they have the capabilities of coming back. We came back from Cornell and won that game. We came back from Brown and almost pulled that game back out. We came back from Princeton, almost pulled that game out. We came back from Richmond and had a chance to win that game at the end. So I think this squad can draw on some of the things that happened last year and help them a great deal in saying, regardless of what's happening in the first quarter and second quarter, the game, the flow of the game can be developed at that time. But if you hang in there and give yourself a chance to win it at the end, this team is capable of winning it at the end. So the key to us is to go out there and play good, sound, aggressive defense to not have turnovers on offense, to move the ball the way we're capable of moving the ball. And that is a very wide-open, multiple attack. That is running when teams think we're going to throw. That's throwing when teams think we're going to run. That's mixing the screens in there and the short passes and the draws and the traps and some option plays in there. And that's the kind of football that I think we do the best. We can't only just throw the football. We can't only just run the football. We've got to get a very good mixture of offense, I think, in there. And when we do that and keep the other team off balance, I think it's to our benefit then. As I said, however, Paul, I really think it's a matter of our defense shutting down the Dartmouth offense. I think that's going to be crucial to us. I won't be concerned if Dartmouth score the first time they have the football. In fact, I wouldn't be concerned if they score the second time they have the football. I'd be concerned if they score the first four times they have the football then. But I really feel our defense is capable at some point of taking the Dartmouth offense and shutting it down. And I feel that regardless of what the score of the game, the first quarter, the second quarter is, that our offense is capable of putting points on the board. And this is something we've been trying to instill in our squad all along. In preseason, you have difficulty in that because you play against yourselves. You scrimmage against yourselves, so it's difficult to put yourself behind on the scoreboard. We'll find out a little bit more about what we're made of if that happens during the course of the Dartmouth game.
Coach, I think that's good. You're obviously very confident heading into this year. Now to diverge a bit and paint a picture of the whole year as you see it, one thing, of course, in football, as many other sports, is injuries. They're going to accumulate during the year. It's got to be something to be watched for. And the way you've been talking, the Quakers have the depth to overcome some injuries at key positions, such as occurred already with Rich Sear, Chris Bobner, and a few others. How do you feel about the Quakers' chances for the entire year in and out of the Ivy League and their ability to withstand these injuries and keep their depth up the entire year?
First of all, I must say I'm not going to tell you that we're going to be 10-0, all right, or 9-1. I'm not going to make any long-range predictions. I will say this. One of our goals this year is to win the Ivy League championship. And that's one of the first things we said to the squad during the very first meeting we had at preseason is our goal is to win the Ivy League championship. But we also need to continue the development of this football program. We are still not as far along with our development as we'd like to be. Skill-wise, strength-wise, speed-wise, we're getting closer. And we've come a long way, but we still need to improve this and other aspects of our program. I see the long range things this year as if we can avoid injuries, and we do have some depth, but we still have some key people. Right now, losing Gary Vuehr would be harmful to us. Right now, losing Jeff Schulte would be harmful to us. Right now, as well as Joe Smales is playing at center, losing Chris DeMary would be harmful to us. Losing a John McInerney would. Losing a Mike Christiani would hurt us, for example. Losing a Billy Lista, although Joe Lorenz is going to play very well, but losing a Billy Lista in the middle of the line would be harmful to us. Losing a Scott Boggio at fieldside end would be. So there are key people out there that we need to keep healthy. And when you look at teams that traditionally play well and win the Ivy League championship or at the top all the way at the end, a Yale, for example, a Dartmouth, for example. These people don't lose their key people. The key people seem to stay healthy. Yale losing a Rich Diana, for example, last year would have been an immense blow to them. Losing a John Rogan, for example, even though their backup quarterback is a very fine quarterback and will be the starter this year. But John Rogan was a guy that did an awful lot of things for them last year. Dartmouth losing one of their backs, a Peter Lavery or Sean Marr, for example, would be a blow to them. Dartmouth lost Rich Lena, I might add, who's their starting fullback this year. We hope that that will be a blow to, you know, the Dartmouth offense a little bit. We may have depth, but we still cannot afford to lose people in key positions as we did last year.
Okay, Coach, it sounds good. The outlook for the Quakers season to win the Ivy League title championship is an admirable goal. We hope you can attain it. President Hackney, sir, arrived simultaneously here at our Philadelphia campus with you last year, and he seemed to have a renewed vigor in the sports program. You mentioned earlier a little bit how they let you go up to Camp Penn in the Poconos. And what other actions has President Hackney and the entire administration in College Hall, how have they backed you and supported you through this year, as you say, your merry-go-round since you came to Penn?
I think looking at Franklin Field, for example, is a fine indication of the commitment the university has made to the athletic program in general and football program specifically. The new surface on Franklin Field, produced by Monsanto Company, is only one of three kinds of surface like that in the entire country. Veterans Stadium here in Philadelphia has that surface. Texas Stadium in Arlington, Texas has that surface. That's a $600,000 commitment that the university made to put that surface down on Franklin Field. It's something that we desperately needed because the previous surface had been there for a number of years. The underpadding had been there since 1969. It was very hard and not very resilient. And the grain on the other surface, if you ran on it one way, you had a tendency to slip. And if you ran it the other way, you had a tendency to stick. So it was a very uneven surface as far as the footing on the surface. This surface is a very fine surface, very resilient. I think it's as soft as you could find an artificial surface. But it means a lot to the university, not just the football program, because the football program really has a small part of the total use of that field. That field's open from 8 o'clock in the morning until about 11 o'clock at night. The intramural program derives a great deal of benefit out of that, and the soccer team, the field hockey team, the lacrosse team, and there's so many people on campus that derive some benefit from that. But I think that's a clear indication of where the university administration is headed as far as their support for the athletic program. I look at our offices, for example, and we came here a year and a half ago. Our offices, football-wise, were basically one huge central room with very little privacy, and we had an opportunity this year to take our offices and divide it up into smaller offices where our coaching staff has an opportunity to have a little privacy and meet with their players and did a little bit more with the lounge and provide some privacy for our secretaries, and it's a more convenient work area now. And I think that's a clear indication. I think just the money that we put in, for example, into our uniforms and equipment to bring our equipment up to standards in Division 1A, at AA. And I think that's a clear indication of what the university's commitment. So and the assistance that we've received from various people, the alumni, for example, I think is a clear indication again of the support that we've received that we are receiving from so many of the constituencies in the university community. I think all of these things point to the fact that yes, this university wants to have a successful football program, and I firmly believe that sometime in the near future we're going to provide that for everyone.
Okay, thank you, Coach. As we creep closer to game time here in Hanover, New Hampshire, before we close, do you have a message for the student body back in Philadelphia at Penn as to what you feel about them and their relation to the Quaker football team?
Well, I know the student body is with us as a whole. I've gone to the basketball games, and I've seen their support and their enthusiasm at the basketball game. What a thrill it was last year after our Cornell victory to hear the cheers and see the crowd spill out into Spruce Street and up Spruce Street. I know they're there, and it's just a matter of this Penn football team and this Penn football program to give our student body a more successful, competitive program where each day they can walk, each Saturday afternoon they can walk into Franklin Field or into Saponis Field and hold their head up high and be proud of the things that they know are going to happen on the field that day. And it's around the corner. Bear with us. We ask for their continued support. Next week, I'll be walking throughout campus. It'll be for our home football game, probably on Friday, and I'd like to meet as many of the students as possible up and down Locust Walk. And hang in there with us. Give us your support. We desperately need that.
Coach Burnt, we're going to make every indication and every effort to give you our support. Speaking for myself and the entire Penn community, I'd like to wish you a successful 1982 football season. Let you go down with your team now. Get ready for the game against Dartmouth. This has been Paul Dolovitz with Jerry Burnt on Coach's Corner, and we'll be back right after this.
For WXPN Sports presents Pennsylvania Quaker Football. Good afternoon, this is John Fine along with Paul Jolovitz. We'll be calling all the action for you this brisk, overcast New England day. Today, Penn opens up its 1982 season against the 1981 defending co-Ivy champions, the Dartmouth Big Green. The Quakers, 1-9 overall, 1-6 in the Ivy League in 1981, facing the Big Green, 6-4 overall, 6-1 in the Asian 8 last season. Penn will be trying to avenge a 33-13 loss to Dartmouth last year at Franklin Field. Will be attempting to break a 9-game losing streak. And for Penn's second-year coach, Jerry Burnt, this is a homecoming of sorts. Paul Jolovitz.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be here on this first Saturday of 1982 Quaker football. As you said, it is rather brisk here, about 52 degrees at game time, rather chilly. The wind, however, will not be a factor. As you said, Don, Jerry Burnt has been an assistant coach here at Dartmouth in the past, serving from 1972-1978 before becoming the head man at DePaul, subsequently moving on to Penn. This is a homecoming for him. It's got to be rather special.
No doubt about that, especially considering that this is Burnt's second year at the helm of Pennsylvania. You know that the Quakers really want to get off on the winning track here, and Dartmouth has won the toss. They have elected to receive for the play-by-play my colleague and fairly good friend, Paul Jolovitz.
Thank you very much, Don. Kicking off the penalty, Dave Schulman, junior from Miami, Florida. Lavery and for Dartmouth, number 33, Peter Lavery. Ball taken by an up man for Dartmouth, Steve Carroll at the 30-yard line. He takes out to the 33, very short kick by Schulman. Dartmouth will start first down 10 to the 33. At quarterback for Dartmouth will be number 10, Frank Polsonello. Running back to halfback, number 42, Sean Maher. Gained 707 yards last year for the Big Green. One to watch out for, the fullback, number 24, Tom Bruno. Runs will be number 32, John Daly. Number 5, John Olesnizak. Dartmouth in the I formation. Polsonello setting off for their first play of 1982. Takes the snap, hand off deep to Maher. He's got about 4 out of the 37. Penalty flag thrown by the line judge.
On that play, Paul, it was just a handoff straight through the middle to Maher. Maher, who was second team all Ivy last year, picked up about 4 on the play. There's a flag, and it'll be a legal procedure against the Dartmouth Big Green. A big break for Pennsylvania on the first play of this 1982 season.
And off fit to start for Dartmouth. Maher taking the ball, getting a good 4. However, the penalty will nullify that. Bring Dartmouth back to their own 28, where it'll be first and 15. John, as you said, Maher, second team All-Ivy last year, bruising sort of running back, 6 feet, 202 pounds. He likes to go to the middle and run people over rather than run around them.
That's correct, Paul. And Sean Maher, interestingly enough, did not have that great of a game last year at Franklin Field against Pennsylvania. It was his backup halfback, Lavery, that did most of the damage to Penn last year.
Okay, John, first and 15, Dartmouth working from their own 28 in the I formation. Pennsylvania in the 44. Polsonello drops, handoff to Maher over the left tackle. He breaks it out for 2 to the 30-yard line. Stopped by Pennsylvania, number 3, 94, George Lewis. Number 24, Mike Cristiani. Set up second down, 13 for Dartmouth.
Dartmouth is primarily a running team. To give you some idea, Paul, last year, out of the 701 plays that Dartmouth ran, 501 of them were on the ground. So Dartmouth likes to give the ball to their backs, Maher, Bruno, and Peter Lavery.
It's interesting, John, also. Frank Postino, their quarterback, not much of a throwing quarterback, is good on the ground, however. Sets the team in the T formation. Back to pass. Glenwood can't find anybody being chased by number 72, David Smith. Chasing him out of bounds. Postino going up to the 40. The official spotting him out of bounds. It's on the 34. A gain of 4. It'll be 3rd and 9. John Postino will flush it out of the pocket by a strong, quicker pass rush. They have all receivers covered downfield. Postino has to scramble out. Gain of 4.
Good pursuit that time by David Smith. Let's also give credit to the young secondary that Pennsylvania has out there. Well, actually, it's not all that young, but it does feature a number of sophomores on the second depth team. But Keenan Nix is starting for Pennsylvania at safety, and we will go over the starting defensive squad for Pennsylvania when the opportunity presents itself.
So on the 3rd and 9, Postino over the center, in the eye. Dalian Lesnick, foot wide. He drops. Throw it, no! Hit from behind by number 72, David Smith, on the blind side. Big play by David Smith, a junior. Boston, Massachusetts, the right defensive end, all the way back to the 29. That's going to bring up 4th down and 14. Dartmouth is going to have to punt, and doing the punting time for Dartmouth, number 82, the athlete named Buck Foote.
Well, Paul, I believe you're mistaken. I believe that Rick Bayless is going to be doing the punting for him. Buck Foote is the kicker. Anyway, Bayless is back at about his own 16, and he will be doing the punting.
Sorry about that, John. Bayless does get the punt off. The high kick, high spiraling kick. Driving Tim Chambers back to his own 21. Chambers straight to the first off to the 33. Who is it for Dartmouth? Ball number 66, Paul Fetchelkotter. The kick will start 1st and 10 from there. Buckfoot being the place kicker, not the punter. There's no scramble up from it. John, it is the first game.
That's okay. You're still going through a preseason, Paul. We understand. Tim Chambers is among a host of promising sophomores on the Pennsylvania Quakers squad, and he did a nice job running the ball about 6 or 7 yards, and Pennsylvania will start out with decent field position. They have the ball on their own 34-yard line.
Gary Burris, single back formation. Rick Emmett, the fullback. They now shift back into the eye. Burrow over center. Takes a snap. The handoff, number 121, Steve Orman up for good yardage. He's got 8 up to the 42. It'll be 2nd and 2. Stop for Dartmouth. By number 93, David Furman, inside linebacker.
There is very promising start that time by Steve Orman. His first carry from scrimmage as a Pennsylvania Quaker varsity performer. He picks up 9 yards. Pennsylvania is within 1 yard of picking up the first down.
In the pro set, now shifting out to the single back, Rick Amos. Ortman flanked out right. Vera drops. Throws a quick out to Rich Sirik, number 28. Sirik up for 6 to midfield. First down, Pennsylvania. Top for Dartmouth, made by number 20, John Corbett, the right cornerback. Just a simple out pattern. John, very difficult to stop.
That's correct. Good call that time by Jerry Burke. Obviously, it's a good call. Pennsylvania did pick up the first down. Rich Zurich was reportedly going to back up today. However, he was in there on Pennsylvania's second play from scrimmage, and Penn has the first down on their own 49-yard line.
Yeah, over center. Confirmation. O'Toole in motion. Now the pitch is to Orman. Sweeps right. Hit by Dolman. For Dolman, excuse me. By number 17, James Bloomer. Surges ahead to the Dolman 45. A gain of 6. Be 2nd and 4 for Pennsylvania on the Dartmouth 45. They seem to be running at the big greens, huh?
Good second effort that time by Ortman. He was hit initially by number 17, Bloomer, and then he lunged forward, picked up an extra 2 or 3 yards. Ortman beat out 2 varsity letter winners to be the starting halfback on this Pennsylvania Quaker team, and he has started very well for the Quakers as they are now in Dartmouth territory.
Many sophomores have started this year for the Quakers. Jerry Burns' first crop. We'll get back to that, John, later. As Gerber takes the snap, hands off to Rick Amos, who slipped. Ran into his own offensive lineman, slipped for a loss of 1, back to the 46.
Paul, that seems to be a busted play. Lack of communication or something. I don't know what happened, but certainly not a very smooth transition between the quarterback, Zira, and the starting fullback, Rick Amos. Pennsylvania will have the ball 2nd, make it 3rd and 5 on the Dartmouth 46-yard line.
That's right, Tom. Might take a little time to iron out the kinks in this new season. Pennsylvania, the post at Hall, split right. O'Toole split left, it's good. Straight drop. Little flip over the middle of the Orman. Orman takes it down to the 37-yard line. Gain of 8, that'll be a 1st down for Pennsylvania. Stop made by inside linebacker returning captain number 49, Dave Neslund. Incidentally, Dartmouth lost 10 starters, Don, for the excellent defense of last year. Neslund, the only returning starter. They're proving to be quite worthy of the Quakers now. First down, Pennsylvania set to the Dartmouth 37. They're in the I formation. Sirik and Hall split right on the left hash mark. Hand off to Orman, straight ahead for two to 35.
Pennsylvania seems to be running directly at the middle at the strength of the Dartmouth defense, that being Dave Neslund, and they are apparently doing very well in the early going. They've placed a strong emphasis on the run. Ortman has had three or four carries, and Pennsylvania is moving the ball very nicely.
Seems to be running the ball over the right side, over guard Terry Glanz and tackle John McInerney with good success at the inexperienced Dartmouth defense. As Vera sets up in a single back, Carhaw split right, Ortman flanked right. Vera takes a straight drop, little flint and a hard sliding catch, nice catch by the junior from Bristol, Connecticut at the 27-yard line, very close to a Dartmouth, or excuse me, a Quaker first down. They'll measure.
John Asher on the play for Dartmouth. Carl Hall just did a little hook in there for the Pennsylvania Quakers. Made a very, very nice catch on a ball that was not easily received. And that was Carl's one drawback last year. Sometimes he didn't display the greatest hands in the world, but he made a very nice catch on that one. The referees are measuring, and it'll be first down Pennsylvania.
By about half the length of the ball, Don. Quakers have it on the Dartmouth 27. An impressive first drive this year, getting out of the block quickly. Speaking the pass and the run rather well, and doing fairly well in both.
And they seem to have a very short passing attack this afternoon, Paul. The receivers are only going 5 or 6 yards down the field and cutting in.
Seem to be taking the sure things, Don. Vera over the center. Dartmouth looks to be blitzing. Vera reads it, hits Vera coming over the middle. Sears got it, fighting ahead for FDR. It's down to the 14-yard line, a gain of 13 for Pennsylvania. Gary Vera read the blitz. Very well, hit Sears on a quick little over the middle flip where the safety would have been. Sears struggled ahead for 13 yards. Pennsylvania first down of the Dolphins, 14.
Gary Vera has really established himself as the number one quarterback this year. Last year, he had some problems. He had an ankle injury. He was not handed the starting position in camp, and he has done very well in the early going this afternoon.
Gary Vera.
Pennsylvania set now. Vera takes the snap. Hits it to Orman. Sweep on the right side. Orman gets about five. Down to the nine, where it'll be second five. Stop for Dartmouth. Number 20, John Corbett. Pennsylvania again running over that right side with great success here in the early going, John.
That is correct. And Rich Zerich comes back into the Penn lineup. He replaces Jim O'Toole, who started today for Penn. Another one of Penn's fine sophomore performers.
He has been playing with shin splints through the preseason, but obviously all right today. Seeing plenty of action. Second five for Pennsylvania on the nine. Jeff Schulte in motion. And fine senior tight end as Vera takes it on the option, cuts back up, takes it down to about the 8. Stop for Dartmouth by number 58, Harold Bork.
Bork is a backup nose guard for Mike Lena, who normally plays at that position. Mike Lena, by the way, is the brother of Rich Lena, who is the starting fullback for Dartmouth this year. However, he went down to injury, and as a result, Tom Bruno does start this year for the Big Green. Anyway, it'll be third and four from the Dartmouth 8-yard line. Pennsylvania is driving.
Third and four, Jim O'Toole now back in for six. Split white, Hall, split left. O'Toole motions, Vera drops straight back. Throwing. He's got that Suki touchdown! Pennsylvania's touchdown, first of the 1982 season, the number 85, Jeff Schulte. There's a little pass in the right spot. Schulte taking it out about the one, glancing over to Dartmouth's player inside. The Quakers take the lead, 6-0, John.
Schulte on a crossing pattern that time, beat cornerback Paul Willis. And Pennsylvania starting off very well. They executed very nicely. And now Dave Shulman will be attempting to extend Pennsylvania's lead to 7.
Jeff Schulte, who coach Jerry Burns says is the finest tight end in the Ivy League, proving it there, proving that he is quite capable, catching that little flip from Vera and taking it in. Next point attempt by Schulman is up, flips the upright. Pennsylvania leads 7-0, Don.
Very, very impressive drive, Paul. It took up about 4.5 minutes. Penn started on their own 34-yard line, using primarily running plays. However, they did use some short outs. Gary Vera, a key play, reading a blitz, hitting Rick Zurich, coming across for a big pickup, and then the touchdown a 5 or 6 yard pass to Jeff Schulte, and Pennsylvania goes up 7-0. And it, as Paul Jarvis and Jerry Burnt indicated on Coach's Corner, it is very important, given the circumstances of this game, that Pennsylvania did take that early lead.
Jerry Burnt also saying, guys, you're having firmly established yourself as number one quarterback, doing a great job on that drive, 4 for 4, guys, here. Culminating, of course, with the touchdown pass to Jeff Schulte, and what Quaker fans have to think is a great start for the 1982 season. Marching straight down the field through the teeth of the Dartmouth defense, a young Dartmouth defense, but nevertheless straight through it. And now Dave Shulman set to kick off. Back for Dartmouth. Lavery. Howard's kick is short, picked up by Tom Bruno on the 17. Bruno, the starting fullback, spins his way out to the 30-yard line. Where Dartmouth will start first.
Pennsylvania has kicked the ball off twice, and both times they've been short, squiggly kicks, and that has definitely been by design, to keep the ball away from Lavery, who last year averaged about 26 yards per kick return, which was sixth in the nation. Jerry Burnt is well aware of that, and I'm sure has instructed Shulman to kick the ball away from Lavery, which he has done very nicely so far.
Dartmouth now, Paul Sonnello, Alessio Zach and Daly, split left. Postnell takes the snap, takes Tamar, goes out right, almost intercepted. Nice play by number 27, Mike Olman, tipping the ball away. That ball intended for the tight end, number 88, John Kenya. Olman cutting in front. If the ball hadn't been thrown so high, John, I think you would have seen an interception there.
That's correct, and an interesting twist that time by Dartmouth. They came out running the ball, as we told you. They are predominantly a run-oriented team. However, on the first down here, it was a play-action pass. Fake Tamar, and the man Kenya was open. However, Oaken made a nice play and almost came down with the interception.
Second 10 for Dartmouth. Lesnarzak split left, Daly split right. They're in the pole set. Postnell takes the snap. Great drop. He's looking over the middle. He's got Daly, number 32. Gain of 18 after the 48 tackle made by number 27, Mike Oaken. Daly going up about 15 yards, cutting over the middle, single coverage with the safety man. Postanello making a nice read, completing the pass for Dartmouth first down, John.
Postanello showing a lot of poise there also. As Jimmy Miller was bearing down in on him, Postanello unloaded at the last available second, spotted his tight end, and Dartmouth has it first and 10 on their own 47.
Daly and Lesnarzak both split left with Lesnarzak flank. Postnell hands up the ball over the right side. Ball fighting for extra yardage. Gets down to the Quaker 47, a gain of 6. Tackle made by number 55, Matt Finn. Number 39, Jim Dunphy. Quaker linebackers and Dolphins will face 2nd and 4 from the Quaker 48, the first penetration into Quaker territory.
Marr also showing excellent second effort. Dunphy, as you mentioned, and Finn collaborating on the tackle. Dunphy picking up where he left off last year against Richmond when he played his best game of the year. Pennsylvania, of course, dropping that game to the Spiders 18-12.
Second down and 5. Postanello hands straight hand up tomorrow over the middle. Stop by number 94, George Lewis. Defensive captain number 24, Mike Christiani. Lewis has got about 3. Looks to be about a half a yard short of the first down. They're not going to measure. It'll be 3rd down and 1, a very short one, at the Quaker 44.
Peter Lavery comes into the game to replace Marr, and Dartmouth, starting off this drive, passing the ball, recently has taken the ball via the ground attack, and let's see what Joe Yukika has in mind here. Triple house backfield.
There's a 2 tight end offense. No one split wide. 3 back. Now it's a ball. Hit by number 55. Matt Finn behind the line of scrimmage. It's put back. A yard loss on the play. No way. Dartmouth has the first down of that one, John. A beautiful play by the Quakers junior linebacker.
Great play that time by Finn. He read it perfectly. Dropped the running back for a loss. And as a result, Dartmouth and Timmy Bayless will have to punt the ball away.
Rich Bayless, John, punting the ball away. We're both having fun with this. With Rich here, all his parents aren't listening. He isn't from Philadelphia, so we doubt that's happening, but nevertheless, Bayless back to kick. Deep for Pennsylvania, number 46, John Waterfield. Bayless gets the kick off under a strong rush by Christiani. Waterfield calls his fair catch, will not make the ball, hit to the 5 and bounces into the end zone. Touchback, Pennsylvania will take its 1st and 10 on their own 20-yard line. A nice high kick by Bayless. Dartmouth not quite getting into the coverage, taking a bad bounce straight in the end zone. Pennsylvania will set up 1st and 10 at their 20. Pennsylvania playing inspired defense and, of course, inspired offense, as evidenced by their first touchdown drive. No changes in the offense in the second Quaker series. Why stop a good thing? Gary Zura, again, the Quaker quarterback. Platooney, of course, last year with senior Doug Marzoni, but seems to have the job for himself this year. Quakers in the process, Hall split left, O'Toole split right. Portman now shifting back into the eye. Take the snap, hands off to Orban, bobble a little bit. Orban spinning for empty yardage, gets over the first, left however he's hit.
By
about three or four Dartmouth players at the 23, Orban going into the middle, John, spinning and evading those tacklers, running out wide, where he's hit by another host of Dartmouth tacklers. Gains about three, but good second effort by the sophomore.
Steve Orban, who was the MVP on the freshman team last year, really has done a tremendous job in the early going for Pennsylvania. You see why now he beat out Flacco and Steve Rubin for that starting halfback position.
Second and seven, the 23. Dartmouth almost jumps to get back, though. It's a quick handoff to Amos over left tackle. He's got about three. That's a 26 tackle made by number 29, Dave Neslin. Number 78, Chris Poggiulo, the left tackle for Dartmouth. Just a straight handoff, no fancy stuff, over left tackle. Amos getting about three, but three good yards. It will be third and four for the Quakers on their own 26. 4 minutes, 11 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Pennsylvania 7, Dartmouth nothing on an 8-yard touchdown pass from Gareth Vera to Jeff Schulte. O'Toole in motion as Vera drops back, goes low, flicker out here. Incomplete, intended for Jeff Schulte. Just broke off the line about 10 yards. Vera trying to flip it over the linebacker. Slightly overthrown, set up a fourth down for the Quakers.
Schulte was in the open about the 40-yard line of Penn. However, as you indicated, the ball was slightly overthrown. Penn will have to kick the ball away.
And kicking now for the Quakers, unexpectedly, number 86, Chuck Robert, a junior wide receiver, looked especially good in warm-ups. Kicking them consistently 50 or 60 yards and high. Takes a snap now. Good rush by Dartmouth. Robert gets it away, however. The kick is a good one. It's fair caught by Lavery at the Dartmouth 38. Will be first and 10. 36-yard punt by Grobert. No return. Got to be satisfied with that, John. Grobert, a last-minute insertion into the punter role, replacing Dave Bottomore.
That's correct. Last year, Pennsylvania had a nice punting effort by Eddie Gravinder. Lord knows he had enough practice last year, that's for sure. He set all sorts of season records for Pennsylvania Quaker punters. This year, however, Grobert will take over.
Dartmouth, first and 10, their own 38. Postmello, pitch back to Marr. Marr sweeping wide on left, hit by number 27, Mike Ogan. He's on a lot of plays today for about a yard gain. It will be second nine at the Dartmouth 39. Ogan making a nice read, sliding through the pulling guard, stopping Marr.
Jim Dunphy doing a nice effort, stringing out the play also, permitting Marr to only pick up 1 yard, and it'll be second and nine at the Dartmouth 39-yard line.
Frank Postnell, who earlier mentioned, did not start last year. Rich Stafford did. Stafford, now the second-string quarterback, being beaten out this year by Postnell. Postnell takes a snap. He's straight back. He's looking for 24 times early. He hits him underneath the linebackers. Jim Dunphy for the Quakers making the tackle at the 45. Bruno just split out over the middle. Head out to the left flank. Postnell hit him for about six. It'll be third and four.
Good play by the outside linebacker Dunphy. Once again, when a running back comes out of the backfield in a passing formation, it, of course, is the linebacker's responsibility to pick him up. Dunphy did a nice job there. As a result, it's third down and four to go at the Dartmouth 44-yard line.
This is a firing spot of the ball at the 44, not the 45. Dartmouth in the eye. A legend back in motion. It's posted on a pitch to Marr on the left side. Flag on the play. Stop by number 55, Matt Finn.
Flag on the play.
Just short of the first down. Looked to be about a half a yard short. However, a flag was thrown in the middle of all the action on the left side. And from the indications of the play, yes, it is. It's holding against Dartmouth. That suddenly looked to be on number 75, Slade Schuster, the pulling left guard. Pennsylvania here has a decision to make. The ball's been placed just past the 47-yard line from here. It looks to be about the length of the football short of the first down, John. I would look for Coach Burns to take the penalty.
I would think so myself, Paul. Matt Finn did a nice job for Pennsylvania stopping the Dartmouth run. and I believe that Jerry Burke has decided to take the penalty.
If he has done, if he's taking a little bit too much of a chance instead of a fourth and a length of the football, the first down were achieved, Coach Burke would look to, because they're going to measure anyway. Coach Burke wanted to see what his options are fully. I am pretty sure that first down was not picked up. It is short by about the length of the football.
Yeah, we'll call it a half a yard, I guess. And now Joe Yukika has a decision. Pennsylvania, however, surprisingly, has denied the penalty.
Don, I can't understand this. They have less than a half a yard, as I said, about the length of the football to go for the first down. Dartmouth punting now from their own 48-yard line. I don't know, John, the momentum factor, the momentum in Penn's direction. I might have gone for that on fourth down and seen if I could show Coach Burns that he should have declined that penalty. Coach Burns showing confidence in his defense by declining a penalty of this sort.
Well, now Dartmouth has a decision to make. Do they punt the ball away or do they go for it? Joe Yukika, their fifth-year coach, has some problems now.
Well, Dartmouth has their punter, Rich Bayless, and Penn has their receiving team in.
Rich Bayless also, you have to realize, is Dartmouth's third-string quarterback.
Back for Pennsylvania.
And now, Paul.
And now Rich Bayless is lining up as a quarterback,
right.
Confusing Pennsylvania. Good point, John. Pennsylvania's deep, man. And now Pennsylvania calls timeout, as they were obviously not ready for that
timeout.
What was obviously going to be, not a fake punt, but trying to trick Penn in the way they lined up. Penn not ready for it. Having to spend one of their timeouts with 3:04 left here in the first quarter, John.
A smart timeout called by Pennsylvania, because they were definitely in their punting formation, and Dartmouth could have easily picked up the first down against the defense that Pennsylvania showed. So Jerry Burke wisely extending his first of three first-half timeouts, and let's see what happens now on the field. Dartmouth sending in Peter Lavery, who replaces Sean Maher, and Bayless is in.
Don, I'd have to think that now Dartmouth would punt the ball. The ploy having not failed, and Pennsylvania realizing it in time.
Well, they're going back into the punting formation, Dartmouth is. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that the ball will be punted away.
The sole feedback, Pennsylvania, this time number 22, Tim Chambers. Everybody else up on the line expecting a fake as Bayless fumbles the snap. Just gets the punt away, almost blocked there by Pennsylvania. A high kick, taken by Chambers, on 24. Nice one by Chambers, slips. About the 14, slips at about the 19, runs forward to the 20 with the personal start first and 10. John, that punt almost blocked by number 53, Bill Lista, after the snap was fumbled by Bayless. Could have been a big break for the Quakers.
And Bayless is hobbling off the field. That would be a big loss for Dartmouth. Bayless was first team all Ivy last year as a fine punter and had to do his utmost to get the punt away. And since the ball was fumbled, he is fair game.
Yes, he is.
Normally, that would be a roughing the kicker penalty. However, it is fair game, and Pennsylvania has the ball on their own 20-yard line.
Both receivers split left for the Quakers. Now O'Toole and Morrison is here. Hands back to Orman. Orman for about one over the middle. Not much there, John. South base for Dartmouth. Line number 78, Chris Cogiulo. Number 46, Mike Lena. Setting up second and nine. Now coming in for the Quakers. Number 42 seeing his first action. Fullback Chuck Nolan and number 28, Rich Sirik. Placing Rick Amos and Jim O'Toole. Chuck Nolan, as a backup fullback last year, looking fairly impressive. Don, when pressed in action,
he started the last game as a halfback against Richmond and did a very nice job for the Quakers.
Orman, not going in motion, Azure takes a snap, a straight drop. He's looking for Hall, sideline pattern. Hall comes up, can't get it. The pass is a little bit behind him. Defensive player for Dartmouth, number 28, Mike Cassis. Ball, however, was open. Cassis on a bit behind him up at the 27-yard line.
Good pattern that time, ran by Hall. Cassis had to respect Hall's outstanding speed. Hall made a quick turn out. Would have had enough for the first down, however, the ball was errantly thrown.
Much respect Hall's deep threat. Of course, he caught five passes for an unbelievable 252 yards against all Ivy corner Charles Williams last year for Cornell, or Mike Williams, excuse me. Vera now over the center, third down and eight for the Quakers, their own 22, a draw play to Orman. Orman breaks it up over the 30 to the 36-yard line. A gain of 14 yards, a stop for Dartmouth by number 26, Dan Carson. A beautiful call by Coach Jerry Burton, quarterback Gary Vera. The hole, gaping hole in the middle, nice hole open by the Quaker offensive line, led by senior center number 52, Kristen Marriott. Pennsylvania will take it out just past the 35-yard line, first and 10. Steve Orman looking very impressive here, John.
Dan Carson, the safety for Dartmouth, was the only person between Ortman and the goal line, and he made the stop for Dartmouth.
First and 10, their own 35-yard line. Sierra takes the snap. Quick hand off to Nolan. Nolan pulling his way forward. Good second effort after the 38. A gain of about 3. Tackle made by number 78, Chris Cogiulo, and number 72, Robert Della Isola. The right tackle for Dartmouth.
Pennsylvania using a lot of clock on this drive as they're going primarily on the ground against the inexperienced Dartmouth Big Green defense. Dartmouth, again, defensively only returns their honorable mention All-Ivy linebacker, Dave Neslin.
Steve Flacco now in a tailback for the first time for the Quakers. He splits left. Sierra takes a straight drop. Looking for Sierra. Can't find him. Rolling around. Being chased. Finds on number 42. Chuck Nolan in the flat. Nolan takes the ball up for about 8. Looks to have the first down by about a yard out of the 47-yard line. Sierra not finding any receiver. Being chased by middle guard number 46, Mike Lena. Found Nolan curling over the middle, very short, flipped the ball to him. Nolan taking the ball, going up for about 8. Stop made by number 7, safety Paul Willis. That'll be a quick but first down. Good improvisation by Gary Verizon, going out of the pocket.
And let's give a lot of credit to the Penn offensive line. That gave him a lot of time to throw the ball.
Very true, John. Sometimes overlooked part of the offense. First down to the 47. Gary, going one of the options. He pitches the Flacco and hit immediately for Dartmouth. Line number 20, John Corbett. Corbett stringing out the play well, reading the option. Vera forced to pitch to Flacco, who was hit almost immediately. Very good job of holding on to the ball. Quakers lose 3. Back to their own 44. It'll be 2nd and 13. Dartmouth not pulled at all time by the option.
Pennsylvania is going to have to diversify their attack a little bit more now. They've been going almost exclusively on the ground. And let's see if Jerry Burke will open it up for the Quakers.
Could be the last play of the first quarter. Clock winding down 8-7. Gary gets the playoff. Takes the Flacco. He's looking over the middle of the call. Oh, trying to make a one-handed catch. Can't hang on. Looked to me as if he could have had the ball. Didn't look up to the last second. By then it was almost there, John. Seems to be a little bit of a timing problem as he was open at midfield. Nevertheless, the Quakers will face 3rd and 13. 1 second left in the first quarter. This will definitely be the last play of the first quarter.
Play action pass there. The fake handoff. Carl Hall coming across the middle. Perhaps he could have grabbed that pass. Perhaps it could have been thrown a little bit better. Anyway, it'll be 3rd and 13. Penn with the ball on their own 43-yard line. 1 second remaining to be played in the first quarter.
O'Toole flank right. Hall split right. Quakers in the eye. Yeah. Play action to Flacco. Takes the ball. He's going deep on the sidelines. He's got Schulte. Schulte for about 20 yards down to the Dartmouth 38. That'll be a Quaker first down. Stop made for Dartmouth by number 28, Mike Patches. For a nice leaping catch by Jeff Schulte on a four, thrown by Gary Vera. Here's a quick, it's another first down. That's the end of the first quarter now with a score of 10-7, Dartmouth nothing. As we move from the first to the second quarter now, John, Pennsylvania being very impressive on offense, marching down to their first possession for the score. Coming on the second possession now, showing impressive results in this third drive.
With a score of Pennsylvania 7, Dartmouth nothing at the end of the first quarter. Let's send it back to the station for this break, and we'll be back with more Pennsylvania Quaker football right after this.
Saturday, October 2nd, the Columbia Lions invade Franklin Field to take on our own Pennsylvania Quakers. Join WXPN Sports as we bring you all the exciting football action. Insight from Coach Jerry Byrne at 1 o'clock, followed by the game at 1:30. Follow all Quaker football action on WXPN 88.9, the voice of Quaker football.
Music throughout your day, tune into WXPM Philadelphia.
Saturday, September 25th, the University of Pennsylvania Quakers take on Division I AA powerhouse, the Lehigh Engineers at Franklin Field. Catch all the exciting action right here on WXPN 88.9 FM, the voice of Quaker football.
Line. Frank Pulcinello calling signals for the big green. They are in the I formation. Wide right is Elogianet. Right left is Daly. It's a draw play given to Maher. Maher picks up one or two on the play, brought down by Matt Finn, Pennsylvania's inside linebacker.
Don with the straight handoff up the middle. Matt Finn, the first quarter, had four tackles, making a nice read there, stopping the play where it started. Pick up of one, setting up second and nine. Pennsylvania defense tenacious in the first quarter, and again starting the second quarter.
Dartmouth will have the ball on their own 34-yard line, and Penn has done a nice job stopping the Dartmouth run, and Joe Yukika might be forced to put the ball up in the air. Dartmouth in the eye, out of the pro set. Pulcinello calling signals. He gives it off to the second man through. He has some room. That's Maher. He's all the way up to Dartmouth 43-yard line. It'll be very close to the big mate green. First down. Matt Singh once again on the stop for Pennsylvania.
Player down for Dartmouth, Don. Looks to be number 42, Sean Maher. At about the 43-yard line, trainers are out for Dartmouth to see just what's wrong. He looks to be not seriously hurt. Maybe just has the wind knocked out of him. He's lying with his legs up. Let's hope it's not too serious.
That would be a big loss for Joe Yukika and the Dartmouth squad. Dartmouth has been trying to keep the ball on the ground, with the exception of that last play tomorrow. They've been pretty much unsuccessful. Dartmouth, as we have indicated several times, likes to keep the ball on the ground, and they might have to put the ball up in the air. Maher walks off the field on his own, and he's not being helped by the Dartmouth big green trainers. That has to be a big lift for Dartmouth. And they did pick up the first down. So with 12 minutes and 55 seconds remaining to be played in the second quarter, Pennsylvania leads 7-0. The Dartmouth Big Green has the ball on their own 43-yard line. They are out of the I formation. Peter Lavery comes in to replace Maher. Frank Pulcinello calling signals. Pulcinello fakes. He's rolling right, looking to go to Daly. He throws. Daly drops the ball, but it's out of bounds anyway. Mike Oken on the coverage for Pennsylvania.
John, as you alluded to in the first quarter, Peter Lavery coming into the game early last year for Sean Maher, who was ineffective. Today he looks to be rather ineffective as well. Lavery doing a bang on himself last year for the big lead. Let's see what he can do today.
And ironically, Lavery does come in for Maher after he makes perhaps his first successful carry of the day, a 9 or 10 yard pickup. But Maher appears to be all right, and he should be back into the big green lineup shortly, although Lavery is still playing at halfback along with Tom Bruno. They are in the pro set formation. Wide right is Daly. Wide left is Olesnizak. The tight end is Buck Foot. Going back to pass, dropping straight back is Pulcinello. He's being rushed. Give it off to Bruno. Bruno has it, lunges forward to the 47-yard line, where he's brought down by a host of Pennsylvania Quaker defenders, led by Mike Hogan, Pennsylvania's senior halfback, and Keenan Nix also on the stop for Penn.
Don, Keenan Nix started the game for Pennsylvania, making the tackle there. However, Rock Armstrong, who was listed second in the depth chart, seeing plenty of action. Now back to back play, a textbook screen pass by Pulcinello, having drawn Bill List and David Smith in before flipping out to Bruno, where he was hit.
But Pennsylvania stopped it for only a 2-yard gain, so it'll be 3rd and 8. Dartmouth has the ball on their own 46-yard line. Dartmouth having the pro set. Pulcinello calling signals. Dartmouth has it back. The pass is complete at the 50-yard line. Taken by number 24, Bruno. He is smashed to the ground, and he is hurt. Pennsylvania hitting viciously Jim Dunphy with a strong tackle, and Bruno is laid out on the field.
Jim Dunphy, a vicious hit, a helmet right to the ribs of number 24, Tom Bruno. That looks to be the area of concern. He's not moving right now.
in the first quarter, Yale and Brown tied at nothing and nothing.
And we've just gotten an Ivy League score. Yale and Brown are tied. They're deadlocked at nothing-nothing early in the first quarter. Let's very briefly, by the way, give you the rest of the Ivy League schedule this afternoon. Yale at Brown. Yale, of course, being the defending Ivy League champion, along with Dartmouth. Columbia travels to Harvard, and Princeton is at Cornell.
4-5 in the first quarter.
And Dartmouth is in the punting formation as Duffy's hit stopped the man short of the first down as the ball is taken on the 39-yard line, punted away, taken by number 22, Tim Chambers. Chambers going right, has some room, strung out of bounds at the 25-yard line where Pennsylvania will take over.
A rather low kick that time, John, setting up the return. Chambers taking it, trying to get a string of blockers in front of him. The wedge, however, did collapse and is forced out of bounds at the 22, where the Quakers will start first and 10.
A fine punt there that time on the part of Dartmouth's kicker, Rick Bayless. And it will be the 22-yard line that Pennsylvania will start out on. 11-12 remaining to be played in the second quarter. Penn leads 7-0. Pennsylvania will roll back in the backfield. That is Steve Ortman. Now they shift back into the I formation, calling signals. Is Gary Dira. He fakes the second man coming through. Dira being rushed, gets the ball away, throws it out of bounds over the head of Carl Hall.
John, on that play, a lot of pressure from number 20, John Corbin, on a safety blitz. Incidentally, for the Quakers, in the left guard for number 65, Tim Keel. Number 70, James Thornton. James, great story, had 3 knee operations his freshman year. Sat out 2 years before making a return to the squad this year. I think it's very admirable of him to be playing in this game.
No doubt about that. It'll be 2nd and 10. Pennsylvania has the ball on their own 22-yard line. They are out of the pro set. Now they shift back into the eye. 2 wide receivers are on the left side. Give it to the second man through. That is Ortman. He has some room. He's at the 30. He's at the 35. Finally brought down on the 37-yard line by Mike Patsis.
Don, as before, Patsis, the last man between Ortman and the goal line. They just broke down straight up the middle. No fancy stuff at all. Ortman out for 90 yards, and if Patsis hadn't been there, this is a 13-0 ballgame.
Steve Ortman really making a sensational debut. Of course, he played football last year on the freshman level for Penn. Freshmen in the Ivy League are not allowed to compete on the varsity level. And he has done very nice in the early going for Pennsylvania this afternoon. Pennsylvania out of the I formation, 1st and 10 on their own 36-yard line. Vieira has it. He fakes. He takes it himself. He has some room. He lunges forward to the Pennsylvania 48-yard line. Chris Colugio on the stop along with Mike Patsis for Dartmouth.
Don, it seemed like a breakdown of the Dartmouth defense there. Vieira taking the option, cutting it upfield. Everybody going for the pitch. Vieira made no indication in that direction. However, they went there. Vieira just cut it up for 10 easy yards. The second down, just a couple of inches for the first.
2nd and 1 will call ball on the 46. Here's the pitch to Ortman. Ortman pulls forward. He has the first down. Reaches almost midfield. Has the ball on the 49-yard line. Will call it where he stopped. Brought down by David Furman and Robert Della Isola.
Again, Ortman on the carry. Getting what was needed. Just needed a couple inches, maybe a yard. He got it. Quakers on the 49. A very workmanlike drive here to start off the second quarter.
1st and 10, ball on the Pennsylvania 49-yard line. 2 receivers are wide left. Penn out of the I formation. Gary Vera calling signals. Quick drop. Give it off to Hall. Hall has complete into Dartmouth territory. Stopped at the 45-yard line by safety James Bloomer.
James Bloomer, having to respect Hall's deep speed. Hall just took 2 steps, turned in. The ball was there. It's a 6-yard pickup, and they can do that all day, John. I can't see how you can stop that kind of pass.
As you mentioned earlier, defenses have to respect the speed of Carl Hall, of Rich Dirk, when Rich is healthy. And Pennsylvania is definitely capitalizing on that aspect of football this afternoon. They have the ball 2nd and 4 on the Dartmouth 45-yard line. 2 wide receivers are wide right. Give it to the second man through. That is Steve Ortman. Ortman has the first down and more, going all the way to the 37-yard line of Dartmouth, brought down by Colugio.
Done. Ortman, very impressive in his first varsity game. Running ahead for about 10 there. Got to be around 50 or 60 yards. We have 9 minutes left in the second quarter. That's a real find for Jerry Brunt, this sophomore back.
No doubt about that. And it seems as if they're running most of their plays right also, Paul. It'll be first and 10, ball on the 38-yard line of Dartmouth. Pennsylvania out of the pro set formation. Gary Vera takes the snap. Gives it down and out. Ball is complete. Complete at the 30-yard line of Dartmouth. On the catch for Pennsylvania is 34, Jim O'Toole. Picks up 7 yards on the play. James Bloomer on the stop for Dartmouth.
Tom, back to what you said over the right side. As you know, the right tackle in Pennsylvania, the only 3 year starter now on the offense, number 76, John McInerney, honorable mention All Ivy last year. And a good friend of mine seems to be doing the job rather well today.
Pennsylvania has the ball, second and three on the Dartmouth 30-yard line. They're out of the I formation. The ball is given to the second man through. That is Ormond once again. He fumbles. Ball is down on the ground. And Pennsylvania appears to have recovered. Rich Zirik recovers the fumble for Pennsylvania. And that could have been disastrous. But Zirik, Johnny on the spot, and Pennsylvania will have the first down.
Don, interesting enough, that draw play they've been working all day. Ormond up for about 8 yards. Fortunately for them, when he fumbled, the ball flew about another 5 yards forward. Rich Zirik fell on it. Everything is going the Quakers' way today.
I guess that's not part of Jerry Burke's playbook, is it?
No, but I think they'll take it 9 out of 10 times. Maybe 10 out of 10.
First and 10, Pennsylvania is driving. They have the ball in the Dartmouth 21-yard line. Pennsylvania in the pro set. Now they shift into the I. Play action pass. Buehler going back. Dumps it off. He has Schulte at the Dartmouth 15-yard line. Jeff Schulte picks up six on the play. Brought down by Dave Neslin.
Now in Pennsylvania, getting the short pass, going over the middle with the run, chewing up yardage. Nothing spectacular, but they're really doing the job on offense there. The offensive line giving Buehler great protection.
So Pennsylvania picking up 6 and 7 yards. On each play, they have the ball, second and four on the Dartmouth 15-yard line. They're out of the I formation. Now Zirik is in motion. Give it off to the first man through. That is Rick Amos. Amos picks up two, maybe three on the carry. Brought down on the play by David Furman.
Don, we've got some surprises here around the Ivy League. In the second quarter, Brown.
And Brown apparently on the upswing once again. They had a fine squad 2 years ago. They had some trouble last year. And Yale, which perennially is an Ivy League power, well, we might be seeing a shifting of powers in the Ivy League this year. And on that last carry, Amos was perhaps the length of a football short of a first down, so we'll call it third and let's say half a yard to go for the Quakers on the Dartmouth 11-yard line.
Don, the way the Quakers are chewing up yardage this year with that Yale Brown score coming in, could the Ivy League shift of power be moving down to Philadelphia and Spruce Street?
It could be. Jerry Burke says that a definite goal for the team is to win the Ivy League this year. And the way the Quakers are playing, people have to take the Quakers seriously. And there's a whistle down on the play. It's third and one. Ball is on the Dartmouth 11-yard line. And let's see what the referees are ruling.
It's an official timeout, Don. We don't know what for. But now they're starting the clock again. The Quakers back in the huddle. We'll reset things. Third and one on the 11, not actually one, about the length of the ball, maybe even shorter.
Pennsylvania out of a triple house backfield. Gary Vera calling signals for the Quakers. Vera has done an admirable job leading the Quakers so far this afternoon. And he gives it to Aiton. No, he takes it himself on the option. He has the first down. He's at the Dartmouth 7-yard line where he's brought down by safety James Bloomer.
Don, a great fake. Even here you go. I couldn't detect Rick Holmes. Amos over the middle. The entire Dartmouth defense went for that fake for a split second before Gary just moved it outside, ran forward to the six. Nice ball handling work by the senior from Miami Lakes, Florida. He's doing it all today as the Quakers look to be marching towards the second touchdown. As they call their second time out of the half, could be a foul up on the offense somewhere. Got the signals confused with the play. 6-11 in the first half. Don, you've got to be impressed so far with this year's Quakers. Very different from the last 2 years.
Definitely. And Jerry Burke said that a big key to this year's squad would be the play of the skilled position performers at offense. Specifically, I'm referring to the quarterback and running back situation. And so far, Jerry Burke has to be delighted with the play of the senior quarterback, Gary Vera. His sophomore halfback Steve Orban and Rick Amos, the senior fullback. The offensive line is doing a great job when Pennsylvania goes back in passing situations. Gary Vera has a lot of time to throw. Of course, it helps that he's going on short routes to his players, but Pennsylvania has performed very well offensively, defensively. They've done a nice job against a veteran Dartmouth offensive squad.
Don, running by Orban is opening up the pass. Orban chewing up 8-9 yards of carry and behind the blocking of the offensive line, not just the offensive line, but number 44, Rick Amos, who's taking on Dartmouth senior captain, linebacker Dave Neslin, and wiping him out almost every play.
We're just about ready to resume action. It'll be first and goal to go. Ball is on the 7-yard line of Dartmouth. Pennsylvania out of the I formation. Gary Vera calling signals. Vera gives it to the second man through. That is Flacco. Flacco nudging forward, gets to the 4-yard line of Dartmouth, where he's brought down by the middle of the Dartmouth line. On the play is Dave Furman and Dave Medlin.
Now we've got some other scores report here, including a real shocker in the second quarter. Vanderbilt leads North Carolina nationally 6th ranked before their 1-point loss to Pittsburgh. Now 10-3 in the second quarter. Penn State over Rutgers 7-0. Michigan State over Ohio State 7-3 in the second. More scores after this play, Don.
Second and goal to go. Ball is on, let's see, the 4.5-yard line of Dartmouth. Gary Vera calling signals. Pennsylvania out of the I formation. Vera pitches back, and Orton slips, and he falls, and we'll call it no gain. One of the few times that Steve Orton has not looked good this afternoon.
Don, the turf here at Dartmouth, a lot of players said, was a little soft, being evidenced there by Steve Orton slipping on the pitch out. Unfortunate, because it looks like the offensive line has done its job, but Orton had a clear pass to the end zone.
That's correct. Running around left guard and left tackle, Jim Keel and Mark Hembro, respectively. Orman appeared to have some room. However, he lost his footing. It'll be third and goal to go on the 5-yard line of Dartmouth. Vera going back to pass, looking across the middle. Now he dumps it off. He has him whole. He'll throw on his feet, and he is brought down. Touchdown! Touchdown, Pennsylvania. Carl Hall with a great second effort. Pennsylvania now goes up 13-0.
Carl Hall going crazy, as he should. The Penn team wrapped around Carl Hall. A beautiful second effort, as he was hit right at the goal line by 49, Dave Medlin. Stood straight up with the strength of this little 5'7 junior from Bristol, Connecticut, who can bench press 275 pounds off a 150-pound frame, with evidence that he just shook off Medlin. Fell forward with great determination to the end zone. The Quakers lead 13-0. A spectacular effort by Carl Hall and by Gary Vera in finding him.
Showman in for the extra point. Here's the snap, here's the kick, it is up, and it is good! So, with 4 minutes and 50 seconds remaining to be played in the first half, Pennsylvania shocking the Dartmouth Big Green, the Quakers leading 14-0.
Don, everything going right for Pennsylvania. That extra point attempt by Schulman, hitting the right upright, and of course, going through. I can't see what Coach Jerry Brunt could ask for more in the first half. Just a stellar effort by the offensive end. Defensively, they're playing very well, stopping Sean Maher in the Dartmouth running game. Just a great, great effort by our Quakers so far. Have a couple more scores for you right now in the second quarter. Rhode Island 7, Maine nothing. In the first, Army 7, Lafayette nothing. Penn State, as I said, 7, Rutgers nothing. Illinois leads Syracuse 3-0. William & Mary over VMI 3-0. And Boston University of New Hampshire are scoreless in the first quarter.
Kicking off for the Quakers from their own 40-yard line will be David Schulman. Deep for Dartmouth. Rich Wiseman and Peter Lavery, and you can best believe that Schulman will keep the ball away from Lavery. There's a low kick, and sure enough, it's a good kick to Lavery. Lavery has it at the 3. He has some room. He's at the 20. Brought down at the 23-yard line. On the play, number 58 for Pennsylvania, Scott Boggio, making the stop for the Quakers. And Dartmouth will start on their own 23-yard line. The Big Green has been very ineffective offensively so far. Let's give a lot of credit to that Quaker defense.
And on that tackle, also with Boggio, number 68, Eric Frick. I think Schulman, not meaning to kick the label, hit it a bit too hard. And the fine Dartmouth running back got the ball. Run it out to the 23. Back to you, John.
First and 10, ball on the Dartmouth 23-yard line. Pulsinello calling signals. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Play action pass. Pulsinello being rushed now. He gives the ball off. He has Maher. No, like that Daly coming across the middle. Grabs it, has the first down at the Dartmouth 38-yard line. What a field, and nicked on the stop for Pennsylvania.
got in for Keenan Nix now on that stop, the entire Quaker secondary. But Rock Armstrong, as I said, second on the depth chart coming in this game, has played the majority of the time. He is the Quakers' lone safety in their 4-4 alignment.
It'll be first and 10. Dartmouth has the ball on their 40-yard line. Lone man in the backfield is Tom Bruno. Rolling right is Pulcinello now on the option. He has plenty of room. He'll take it himself. And he crosses into Pennsylvania territory where he's brought down on the 48-yard line of Pennsylvania by Mike Cristiani. However, that is good enough for the second successful Dartmouth first down.
John Dartmouth on that play, sending all the receivers deep, 15 yards downfield at least. They all cleared out. When Pulcinello had no one to throw to, he had a wide open field in front of him as the offensive line did a good job. Scrambled ahead for the easy first down on Penn's 49.
Dartmouth into Pennsylvania Quaker territory. It'll be first and 10 on the Penn 49-yard line. Two wide receivers are on the left side. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Give it to the second man through. That is Marr, who is back into the lineup. There's a fumble on the play. Recovered by Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania recovers. We'll try to spot the number for you. It is Bradley on the recovery. Kevin Bradley, a backup lineup for the Quakers, picking up the fumble recovery by Sean Marr, and Pennsylvania now has a chance to go up even further.
Don, Kevin Bradley, a reserve linebacker who was not even on the Quakers' first two deep, making the hit, slipping the ball, recovering the fumble, doing it all for the Quakers. Another great break in their own 48-yard line as the sun starts to shine now, maybe auspiciously for the Quakers. 3:45 left in the first half.
Unbelievable, Paul. Pennsylvania just ambushing Dartmouth. The Quakers have the ball on their own 49-yard line. They're out of the I formation. Gary Vera calling signals. He fades back to pass, looking across the middle, and he has them complete at the 38-yard line of Dartmouth. O'Toole.
Incomplete.
I take that back. O'Toole must have dropped it at the last second. Excuse me for that error, and Pennsylvania will have the ball, second and 10. What happened on that
Don,
ball?
Don, I think you can be excused in a rare time for this one. O'Toole, I thought, came down with the ball at the 32, and so did most of the other people here in the press box. However, the official saw otherwise. We were sort of blocked out by his body. Ruled incomplete. It'll be second 10 for the Quakers on the 48.
Second and 10, Pennsylvania on their own 48-yard line. They're out of the pro set. Gary Vera calling signals wide left is Bueller. Wide right, the ball is Sirik, and the ball is batted down. Vera fading back to pass. John Corbett batting the ball down. Good play by Corbett, the backup linebacker for Dartmouth. Pennsylvania will be faced with a 3rd and 10 situation.
John, pass looks to be developing well. Corbett, however, steps into the passing lane. Sirik had beaten his man, number 7, Paul Willis. Corbett getting a hand up, stopping a possible long gain for the Quakers. And the dog has run out here onto the field. At the Dartmouth 25, the officials not doing anything about it. Now they stop the game. Running across the field, fans here at Dartmouth Stadium cheering about all they've had to cheer about today. One of the Dartmouth trainers tries to get the dog off the field. The dog now at the 27. He's out to the 32. Not turning back. He might score. He's to the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown!
For the dog. And he's wearing green also.
Yes, he is. He's about the only thing green that's been in the end zone today besides the Dartmouth defense.
Getting back to real football, there are 3 minutes and 36 seconds remaining to be played in the first half. Penn leads 14 to nothing. It'll be 3rd and 10, ball on the Penn 48-yard line. Gary Vera calling signals for the Quakers. Vera doing a great job. And there's a busted play. Vera very smartly tucks it in, and he is brought down for no gain. Smart play by Vera that time, though, Paul.
Good point, Don. Senior experience, that is, on the Quakers' behalf. Gary Vera, the handoff didn't work out, busted play, he didn't do anything silly, tried to pitch it on anything, he ate the ball, accepted the loss, thereby just giving the Quakers a fourth down punting situation instead of something that could have been much worse.
On his own 36-yard line is Chuck Garbert. Garbert gets a high end-over-end kick, and Lavery let it bounce, and it takes a pin ball, and it is down on the 5-yard line by the Quakers.
Down by number 52, Chris DeMarion. The snapper on the 6-yard line. The bounce for the Quakers on the 5, bouncing straight up. Can anything more go right for the Quakers today? None. Got to be the greatest half of Penn football I've seen in my 4 years.
Unbelievable. And Penn is really picking up where they left off last year against Richmond. Penn played a fine game down at Richmond City Stadium. Of course, they fell short to a Richmond team that featured Barry Redden, the first-round draft selection in the NFL, but Penn had a fine effort that day, and Jerry Burnt's program seems to be in full gear. It is first and 10. Dartmouth has the ball in their 8-yard line. Pulcinello calling signals, gives it to the second man through. He picks up two, maybe three on the play. That is far on the carry by Pennsylvania. He is brought down by Jerry McFadden, a backup defensive tackle.
Penn line stacking the play up for almost no gain. Down 2:42 left in the first half. Pennsylvania having only one timeout left, as they called two previously. They might want to stop the clock here and try to get one more offensive drive, or do you think they're going to run it out, or let them run it out?
Well, first they have to get control of the ball.
That is true,
don't say matters. Second and 8, ball on the Dartmouth 11-yard line. Pulcinello calling signals. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Wide right is Olesnizak. In motion now is Kenya. Pitches to the second man. Going left, that is Ma, and he is strung out for maybe a 1 or 2 yard gain. Jim Dunphy on the stop for the Quakers.
So maybe I should rephrase myself. The Quakers, having stopped Dartmouth on their first two plays, maybe should call timeout here, leave a couple minutes for themselves. This Dartmouth is forced to punt to try to get another drive to really cap off this first half.
That's a good point, Paul. We'll see if Jerry Burnt will do that. It is 3rd and 5 now. Dartmouth has the ball on their own 13-yard line, and Joe Yukika, Dartmouth's 5th-year coach, definitely has to be concerned with what he is seeing on the field so far this afternoon. He sends two men wide right. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Pulcinello calling signals. Now Mars in motion, going left, rolling right. It's Pulcinello looking for the down and out. He has a man barely. It's complete at the 22-yard line, and it's good enough for the first down. On the play, on the stop for the Quakers is John Waterfield.
John, the Quakers look to be playing deep against the home run ball and giving up anything short here with only a minute 27 left in the first half. Daly curling up under Waterfield for the first down at their own 22. So the Quakers will give Dartmouth that at this stage of the half. They just want to prevent the score at all costs.
It'll be 1st and 10. Dartmouth has the ball on their 23-yard line. Two wide receivers are right. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Pulcinello calling signals at the 23. And he'll hand the ball off to Marr going right. Marr is on his feet, picks up 5, maybe 6 on the carry. But Pennsylvania will certainly permit that 5 or 6 yard ground game for Dartmouth, as there are only 1:14 seconds remaining. A minute and 14 seconds remain to be played in the first half. Now Pulcinello have a quick count. They're out of the I formation. He's rolling left. Pulcinello on the option. He'll take it himself, and he'll run out of bounds on the left side at the 35-yard line, which will stop the clock.
Don, another offensive event for Penn. Tom Daly for Dartmouth, having shaken off his coverage, went long. There were no Quakers in sight. Fortunately for Penn, Pulcinello did not spot him, but that could have been tragedy for the Quakers, who with 58 seconds left in the half. Incidentally, back in Philadelphia today, the V Club, Vahe Gagorn and John Vesteria, both members of the Quaker team, both wanted to send their wishes along with the Quaker squad. Their hearts are with them. I'm sure appreciated today.
All right. 1st and 10, ball on the 34-yard line of Dartmouth. 58 seconds remaining to be played. Here's a play-action pass. Pulcinello going back, being rushed. Dumps it off to number 33, Lavery, who's brought down immediately on the play for the Quakers. Great play by outside linebacker Jim Dunphy.
No harm in giving him 2 or 3 yards. I don't quite see the rationale of the Dartmouth offense to throw a swing pass at only 35 with 30 seconds left in the half.
Going back to pass is Pulcinello. He's rolling right. He's on the option. He fakes. Now he'll take it himself, and he goes forward to the 47-yard line, and Dartmouth immediately has called timeout. Matt Finn on the stop for the Quakers.
Don, if you'll notice, Pulcinello dropping back to pass has had to scramble and run a lot, indicating superior coverage by the Quaker secondary. As you know, they play a 4-4 with one safety and two defensive backs. Thus, the linebackers, in addition to stopping the run, are covering the pass very well, forcing Pulcinello to go out of his pattern many a time here in the first half.
And Pulcinello has had some room to run. However, he's not going to pick up more than 6, 7, or maybe 8 yards on a carry. And unless Dartmouth has a really superior field goal kicker, reminiscent of Nick Lowry, who's now playing on the Kansas City Chiefs, a former Dartmouth player. It just really doesn't make much sense what Yukika is doing at this stage of the game. Then again, in all fairness to him, he probably does not have a deep outside threat like the Quakers do in Carl Hall.
That's right, Don, but I mean, you have to try. They might not have an outside threat, but that's really the only chance they've got with 27 seconds left in the half. Even if they don't have it, they might as well give it a shot. They can't get hooked by throwing the long bomb. Even if it's intercepted, it's like a punt. Pennsylvania's not going to do anything. I just don't see the rationale behind Coach Keegan's decision here.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It'll be first and 10 on the Dartmouth 47-yard line. 27 seconds remaining to be played. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Two receivers are left. Pulcinello calling signals. Now in motion is Lavery. Pulcinello going straight back, straight drop, looking across the middle. He is sacked, and the ball is thrown incomplete. Hit on the last second by Jerry McFadden. The ball was thrown. Jim Dumphy dove for it. Did not catch it for an interception from Pennsylvania. However, great pressure by the Quakers that time.
Number 77, Jerry McFadden, beating his man. Number 75, Slade Smith to the outside, coming in and blindsiding Pulcinello just as he released the ball. The ball fluttered away incomplete. Dartmouth, as you said, John, a superior field goal kicker might not be the word for it. Right now, it would be a 70-yard attempt. And I don't know many field goal kickers other than you yourself that could pull one through from that distance.
Second and 10, ball on the 47-yard line of Dartmouth. They're out of the pro set. Pulcinello calling signals. He drops straight back to pass once again. Looking across the middle, and the ball is intercepted. Intercepted by Pennsylvania. Matt Finn has it. He's brought down on the 48-yard line of Pennsylvania.
John, Matt Finn dropping into the cover, standing right in the passing lane. Pulcinello threw the ball right to him. Nothing for Finn to do but stick his arms out and catch the ball. 14 seconds left in the half. They have the ball in their own 48, John. A 25-yard pass is set up near Stewart for long field goal here at the end of the half.
Let's see if Penn will go for more, if they'll just be content to run out the scoreboard, being up by 14 to nothing. Vera, straight back to pass. Going across the middle. He has him at Vera. He has him at the 28-yard line of Dartmouth. And Pennsylvania immediately calls timeout.
Gary Vera taking a deep drop. Vera cutting over the middle under the zone in front of the linebackers. Beautifully hit for a 25-yard gain by quarterback Gary Vera, who has been nothing but flawless in the first half, and credit to him. The receivers have been exemplary in the way they've handled the ball. Hall, Richard, Warren Buehler, the Quaker back, the Quaker offensive line. And now they pick up a break, getting the ball on the 48. A quick 25-yard gain. It'll be a 45-yard field goal for Dave Schulman. This is just about the limit of his range. We'll see if Jerry Burns is going to try that or try to go deep in the end zone. John, you've got to be impressed with the Quakers.
No doubt about it. And Paul, I believe that is their third timeout that they've used this half, so they don't have any more remaining. As a result, I would think that they go to Schulman immediately.
Well, John, there's 6 seconds left in the half. It'd be tough to run a play, get a timeout instead of a field goal, even if they did have a timeout left. Schulman is coming back onto the field, and he's not the holder. Looks like they're going to run a play, John. Not go for the field goal. Coach Burns feeling that 45 yards is out of Schulman's range right now.
Unless they go for a real quick out, this should be the last play of the first half. Let's see what Jerry Burt has in mind. First and 10 ball on the 29-yard line of Dartmouth. Lone man in the backfield is Rick Amos. Gary Vera calling signals. And there is a quick out. And the ball is thrown short to Rich Derrick. But there are 3 seconds remaining to be played in the first half.
Now Silver Don is coming on for the field goal. The Quaker intentions, obviously, to throw a quick out, get those couple yards to put the ball well inside Silver's range, and then kick. The pass ball incomplete. They're going to try now the 45-yarder from the right hash mark. Schulman, in kicking for Penn last year, I believe his longest field goal is 41 yards.
The ball should be spotted, I believe, on the 36. Well, here's the kick. It's up. It is low. It has the distance. It is no good wide to the right, though.
John, just wide to the right, he has the distance, and that'll be the end of the first half. The first half, nothing but joy for Quakers here and in Philadelphia. They march off the field with a score. Pennsylvania 14, Dartmouth nothing.
And we'll send it back to the station for this break and come back with halftime festivities right after this message.
We're here with John McInerney, senior offensive tackle of the Pennsylvania Quakers. John, you've been the starting offensive right tackle for 3 years now. You completed 4 years here, including 1 year of freshman football. You've seen two coaches come, Harry Gamble and now Jerry Burnt. And how do you feel the Quaker team has progressed during these 4 years of your career?
Well, Paul, over the past 3 years, I feel that the Penn community has really made advancements towards football in the way of support. You know, just like this year, we went to Camp Canadensis. It was really, the administration really made a commitment to the team, sending us up there. You know, it was a very, very expensive. And the other day, you know, just to show the kind of commitment that the university has made the other day. You know, President Hackney came down to practice, which, you know, really means a lot to the fellows playing out there. You know, no one's receiving any money or anything, and when President of the University comes to practice and tells you that you're doing a good job and that he'll be listening to this radio broadcast, you know, it really means something to you inside, and I was really glad to see it.
John, given this university commitment and the apparent interest of President Hackney and the rest of the administration in the team, how do you look for the Quakers to do this year? You're coming off two lean years, both 1-9, but it looks like you're ready to turn things around this year. After a couple of close losses last year that could have easily been victories, how do you see your role in the team and the team doing itself for the entire 82 season?
Well, this year, Paul, we can beat any team that we play. A lot of teams lose a lot of talent, and I think that we're one of the few teams that has the experience that we have and the potential in the talent coming in, the younger talent, the sophomores coming in, that's going to help our team right away. I think that my role on the team is to be a leader, to try to bring these guys, you know, give them an example, someone to look at and say, you know, I want to try to be like him, or I want to play football like him. You know, I'm sure like a lot of those guys don't want to be like me, but I hope they want to play football like me, that they don't want to quit when it only gets tough or anything like that. So I kind of had that feeling even during one of the scrimmages. I was sick before the scrimmage, and I had 102 temperature. People told me not to go. But I looked around the room and I saw a lot of the sophomores just looking at me saying, you know, what's with him? Is he going to go or what? You know, I said to myself, you know, what would I think if I was a sophomore this time? And I had to look down deep in myself and I say to myself that I had to play in the scrimmage, you know, just for the sake that the sophomores needed leadership on the field.
John, in the area of leadership, you along with senior center Chris DeMaria will provide most of it this year for the Quaker offense from the offensive line, part of a football team that's often overlooked. How do you feel the Quaker offensive line contributes to the team as a whole, and try to assess its strengths and weaknesses for us?
The offensive line this year is probably the best I've seen since I've been a sophomore. We have Chris DeMaria at center, who's an excellent center, quick. He was honorable mention All Ivy last year. He's a really good captain and leader. At the guards, there's Jamie Keough, who is quick and strong, who is coming off a year of being academically ineligible. And at the other guard, we have Terry Glanz, who started last year with me, a junior college student that came here last year and really added to the program. Both are very strong and very quick. At the tackles, we have Mark Hembro, who's 6'6 and 260, who I don't think too many people are going to push around, and myself is at the other tackle. This, Paul, is probably the best offensive line that's been here in a long time.
John, how do you feel the extensive weight program that Coach Byrne installed in the offseason has helped you and the other offensive linemen and defensive linemen on the Quakers develop from last year through the offseason to this year?
Paul, everyone came back a lot stronger this summer than last summer, which is always an improvement. Everyone this year has a respectable strength in their bench, squat, incline, and clean. Everyone can play major college football with the way they're lifting right now, which is a great advantage over last year.
All right, John, now getting back to yourself for a minute. You spent 4 years here at the University of Pennsylvania pursuing degrees in civil engineering and geology. Upon your graduation in May, you obviously have good opportunities in the business world and possibly a career in professional football. What does the future hold for John McInerney after graduation?
Paul, any person who plays football would love to continue his career into the professionals, but I really don't put any emphasis on that in my college career. If the opportunity was afforded me, I would take it, but I'd obviously like to use my things that I've learned at this university and go into the business world in the mining field.
John, I think that's very admirable as a student-athlete to have student interests as well. On behalf of myself and the rest of the Quaker student body, I'd like to wish you and the Quakers a successful 1982 season, and you personally a successful career in whatever career you choose after graduation. Thank you very much, John.
Paul, well, good luck in whatever you pursue, and have a good year.
Thank you very much, John. This has been Paul Jolovitz with John McInerney, offensive right tackle for the Pennsylvania Quakers. And we'll be back with the second half right after this.
On
On Saturday, September 25th, the University of Pennsylvania Quakers take on Division I-AA powerhouse, the Lehigh Engineers at Franklin Field. Catch all the exciting action right here on WXPN 88.9 FM, the voice of Quaker football.
Back here in Hanover, New Hampshire. Halftime still going underway. The Dartmouth band now out on the field playing a tribute to Dartmouth women, which is apropos today because the Dartmouth men aren't doing very well, losing 14-0 to our own Pennsylvania Quakers at halftime. Just a brilliant performance in the first halftime. Let's just go a little bit the offense and the defense of the Quakers. How they're doing. Gary Bureau, what do you think?
Gary Vieira has really been two different quarterbacks comparing his performance of 81 to 82. Interestingly enough, he started off in similar fashion last year against Cornell when Pennsylvania overcame a 21-point deficit or so to defeat Cornell 29-22 in Jerry Burnett's first game at Franklin Field last year. Vieira, a tremendous job in that game. Great job against Brown last year. Other than that, a pretty much nondescript effort by Vieira. Of course, he was hampered by ankle ailments the whole year. This year, he's come back with a renewed vigor, and his backup, a guy by the name of Fred Rafiti, is a junior college transfer, giving Vieira a lot of pressure. Rafiti, the sixth string quarterback at the beginning of the year, but he's moved up to number two on the depth chart. So Gary Vieira, by no stretch of the imagination, has the job all to himself. He is under constant pressure to perform, and he certainly has in the first half against Dartmouth this afternoon. And another player, in fact, perhaps somebody we should have started out with, is sophomore tailback Steve Ortman, who has certainly outlived anybody's wildest expectations.
Don, I agree. Being from Jerry Burns' first recruiting crop, if you might call them, he's been very impressive here in his first game, as has Ross Armstrong, the safety, and a couple others of the Quakers. I'd like to differentiate Gary Vieira's game today with his game last year. Don, last year, as you know, the blind man bombed three of them to call Hall, throw the ball up, and hope Hall runs under him. It worked. They won 29-22. Today, however, he's composed, leading the offense on drive. Much harder for a quarterback to do. He must sustain his level of play, throwing short passes, spacing his play as well. Ortman doing a good job on the ground. The line, Amos blocking well. Sierra, it might sound like the post of the Quakers, but that's what it is right now, Don. Everybody's playing well.
And they're not playing against chopped liver either, Paul. Dartmouth has a very, very proud defensive tradition dating back to 1970. Paul, you'll remember that team went undefeated. They finished 12th in the nation. And Jerry Burnett, well, that was a few years before he came to Dartmouth. That team featured players such as Reggie Williams, currently starting on the Cincinnati Bengals as a linebacker. Granted, Dartmouth was absolutely destroyed by graduation defensively as they lost 10 of 11 starters, returning only senior captain Dave Neslund to the defense. Nevertheless, Joe Yukika is a fine, fine defensive coach, and Pennsylvania is just completely exploiting what truly, granted it's only the first game of the season, but what truly is a very good Dartmouth defensive team. Defensively, you have to be just inspired by the play of the Pennsylvania Quakers this afternoon. Dartmouth returning seven offensive starters. Dartmouth scored at least 21 points against every Ivy opponent last year, with the exception of Yale. Yale giving Dartmouth their only defeat last year, but Pennsylvania has completely nullified, absolutely negated the Dartmouth Big Green offense this afternoon.
Don, I think the key to that also, number 42, Sean Marr, before having the wind knocked out of him near the end of the first half, although he didn't come back in, Marr, except for maybe one or two players, we burst out about 8 or 9 yards, does nothing, or has done nothing, been stopped by the Quaker defensive line. Now, fullback Tom Bruno also been stopped. However, the key, I think, has been the Quaker linebackers. They stopped the run, but more importantly, they stopped the pass. When Postnall has dropped back the pass, the Quaker linebackers Carmen, whoever the Quaker secondary is, not finding the opportunity to pass. He had to run a few times. Therefore, the Quakers could be confident about the pass. The linemen could just tee off against the run. No one's the linebackers are ably backing them up. I think that's the key to the Quaker defense today.
Dartmouth, on the other hand, has not been able to adjust to the fact that their running game has been completely stifled by Pennsylvania. Dartmouth ran the ball 75% of the time last year, and now that they're forced to throw the ball, they really are not attuned to that type of offensive game. And Pennsylvania, when Dartmouth is throwing the ball, has also exerted a lot of pressure on Frank Polpinello, which certainly does not facilitate matters for the Dartmouth Big Green.
Very good point, John. And also another point I'd like to bring out is Dartmouth lacks what I consider the most important element of a football team, basketball team, baseball team, any team sport, team speed. Dartmouth just does not have team speed on offense. They don't have that threat to go deep. The running backs aren't fast, they'll grind out the yardage for you. There's no threat to go unless all 11 defenders are just wiped off the field. And on the contrary, with Sirik, with Hall, with Wortman in the backfield, they have team speed, they have the threat to divert Dartmouth's defense from keying in on some things, make them watch out for the speed. Penn's defense really can tee off. They don't have to worry about somebody getting behind them for a long gainer. I think that helps Penn very much and hurts Dartmouth tremendously. And I think Dartmouth is going to have to find a little bit of speed before certainly the game, but most likely, or more importantly, the season is over. They hope to do anything on offense.
They certainly have to make some radical adjustments at halftime, and maybe one of those adjustments will be including inserting Rick Stafford into the game for Dartmouth at the quarterback position. You know, the quarterback position is oh so important. You have the obvious passing statistics, and of course there's taking a snap from center and handing it off, and those are obvious things, but there's the intangible dimension, the leadership factor, knowing what plays to call, when to audible, and Bura has performed just perfectly in that capacity. Polpinello has left a lot to be desired by his performance in the first half. Rick Stafford started the first four games of Dartmouth's 1981 season. Then he was felled with an injury that incapacitated him for the rest of the season. Polpinello stepped in and won 5 of 6 games. I believe all of them were Ivy League contests also. Polpinello, the junior, has established himself as the first-string quarterback for Dartmouth. However, we could see Rick Stafford before this afternoon finishes.
Don, while I think you brought up a good point, I have to contradict you a little bit. Polpinello really hasn't had the opportunity to do anything. He can't run for the running back. He can't get open for the receivers. If nobody's open, he has to bring it down and run it, which he has. He hasn't thrown any silly passes. Stayed the one with 20 seconds left. There's intercepted on pins. He's bringing the ball down and running. It's a pretty good yardage sometimes. Audibilizing against the team that's doing well against everything isn't easy. Therefore, I think we have to look at not just the Dartmouth offense. We have to look at the Quaker defense as the key to the lack of a Dartmouth offense, along with their speed. And right now, I don't see what any quarterback can do. You can't throw the guy that's not open. You can't hand off to somebody that's not going to gain any yardage.
Okay, Paul. I'll take your reputation. Speaking about Pennsylvania and winning efforts, the varsity soccer team won their first game of their 1982 season this morning as they defeated Dartmouth 3-1. John Mark O'Brien, Georgia Montagna, and Troy Vincent, being a freshman, all scored for the Quakers. Dartmouth scoring in the waning moments of the game to break Michael Moore's shutout, and the varsity soccer team, which looks to have a good season, if they can overcome some problems, perhaps a suspect head coaching situation. If they can't overcome these things, then they could have a really good season, but a very important win on the road for Bobby Ludwig and some other coaches, the Bob Seddon squad, for the Quakers, 3-1 victory, so they go 1-1 on the season, and a big win for the soccer team. Unfortunately, the field hockey team did not win this morning. They were shut out, in fact, by Dartmouth, 4-0.
Honestly enough, we did, as you know, see Coach Seth and his assistants in the hotel last night. They were very confident about this game. However, they're not sticking around for the football game. It could be a doubleheader for them. They're going back to Philadelphia. They could have a real thing on their hands to beat Dartmouth. I watched the Penn football team beat Dartmouth.
It was interesting seeing the head coaches preparing for the game last night in the hotel. Interesting preparation methods that they utilized
very
last night.
Preparation, John. Well, we won't go into that any further. Just quickly, I'd like to say from the managers, Meg, one of the Penn managers, apparently having to stay home in Philadelphia because of some problem or the other. And Boeing, Tammy, Lou, and Fran, the other managers, said Meg, they're hello here from Dartmouth. And now we have
confidential Dear Abby over the radio here at WXPN Radio. You know, the man that preceded Coach Jerry Burke at the Pennsylvania Quaker was a truly class gentleman, and he still is a class gentleman. His name is Harry Gamble. And we ought to congratulate him as this summer as a result of Carl Peterson being promoted to the general manager position of the Philadelphia Stars in the newly founded United States Football League as a result of some other personnel moves. Lynn Biles becoming the personnel director of the Eagles. Harry Gamble was promoted to being tight end coach and administrative assistant for Dick Vermeil and the Philadelphia Eagles. And also, another ex-Pennsylvania Quaker, Florian Kemp, is now the place kicker for the Houston Astros as he unseated Tony Fritsch. And Kemp never played football.
That's true, and now he's not playing football either, Don, if he's a place kicker for the Houston Astros. He is a place kicker for the Houston Oilers, somebody more likely to play football. And in all seriousness, he's working in the admissions office of Penn last year. Certainly not the place to prepare for an NFL kicking career, but our congratulations do extend to Florian Kemp and Harry Gamble in their relative pursuits.
Dartmouth has come back onto the field, and they have some obvious adjustments to make, both offensively and defensively. Let's take a look at Pennsylvania's revised offensive attack, Paul. As you mentioned, in the first game last year against Cornell, it was pretty much a Hail Mary type of offense that brought the Quakers back into the game. But Penn seems to have completely overhauled their offensive outlook as they're going 6 and 7 yards at a time, and they're slowly but surely marching almost at will, it seems, against the Dartmouth defense.
I agree with you totally on that point. Pennsylvania is chewing up the yardage. Very importantly, they're not trying anything silly. They're not going for the bomb. When they can get the 7-8 yards on the ground, when they can get the short pass, you don't lose the ball. You only have to punt it. You can only pin the other team deep, and if your defense plays well, you're eventually going to get it in good field position. Very impressive first half by the Quaker offense. As you see, as evidenced by the 14-0 score, I think they're mixing their plays very well, John. They're not passing solely, they're not running solely. When they do pass, that's working. When they run, that's working.
You're right, Paul. At one juncture of the game, with about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, I believe, Pennsylvania kept on running the ball straight through the middle, and they were ineffective for a number of plays. But other than that one short, brief stretch, Pennsylvania has done just a yeoman job mixing their plays. Give credit to Jerry Burke, but offensively and defensively, let's also give credit to assistant coaches Wayne Donner and Larry McElreevy, who also spent some time at Dartmouth. So this win would be even more sweet for those three coaches.
Very true, John. I'm sure Coach Burns is savoring this first half and hoping they can continue the second half. The Quakers have come back out on the field with much vigor, I might say, John, although there aren't very many Quaker faithful in the stands here, and I mean very few. The Quakers are playing just up to their potential, and those few have to be very happy. And if I communicate to you back in Philadelphia, you can't see a better performance by a team in a first half.
And, of course, there's 30 more minutes of football to be played this afternoon. But following today's game, the Quakers are next in action next Saturday afternoon as they face Lehigh. And that game will be played at Franklin Field, Paul. And I believe that there is a big revenge or motivation factor involved considering the outcome of last year's game.
Don, the outcome of last year's game, somewhat negative for Penn. Came up to Lehigh after a great 29-22 opening win over Cornell with great optimism. That optimism toned down a bit by a 59-0 defeat. It was every bit the 59-0 that showed on the scoreboard. That's a truly terrible performance by the Quakers. And I'm sure they have a big revenge motive in that game. It looks like they have a much better team right now than they had last year. Lehigh, having lost their opening game to Maine, a quite unheralded squad, although Lehigh was heralded when the season began. We might see a big turnout at Franklin Field next Saturday. Whatever happens, it can't be worse than last year.
No doubt about that, Paul. And interestingly enough, Penn and Lehigh will both be competing in Division 1AA this year. Maybe if the opportunity presents itself, will address the Ivy League relegation to Division 1AA status a little bit later on in this ball game. Anyway, we're about to resume action here. Pennsylvania leading 14-0, and they will take the opening kick of the second half. Pennsylvania clad in their away white garments in their home green. Kicking off for Dartmouth will be Rick Bayless. Deep for Pennsylvania will be Ortman and Tim Chambers, I believe. Anyway, here comes the kick. It is a high spiraling kick going to the left side, and it is grabbed on the 5-yard line, to the 10th, the 15th, to the 20, out about the 25-yard line. Tim Chambers brought down by the Dartmouth Big Green.
Don, an interesting point. If you remember, Rick Bayless hit by Bill Litz on a fumble snap in the first half. Defensive tackle number 91, Andy Osmond, doing the kickoff towards for the Dartmouth Big Green to start the second half. Bayless could be hurt, and that could be just another nail that's being slowly driven into Dartmouth's coffin today.
Pennsylvania will start out on their own 24-yard line. Gary Vera calling signals for the Quakers. They're out of the I formation. Two receivers are wide right. Pennsylvania out of the I. In motion is O'Toole. There's a penalty marker down. Ball is given to the first man through. That is Ortman. He picks up 4, maybe 5 on the carry, but there's a flag down on the play, and that carry might be negated.
Down, the flag was thrown on the right side by the line touch. Offside against the Quakers.
Offside.
Someone on the line could have lined up in the neutral zone. It didn't look like anybody jumped. Nevertheless, 5 yards will be assessed. It'll be second down and 15 for the Quakers from their own 19-yard line.
And Rich Zurich comes into the Quakers lineup. He replaces O'Toole. O'Toole has also done a very nice job for the Quakers in his first varsity performance. First and 15, ball on the Pennsylvania 19-yard line. Penn out of the I formation. Gary Vera calling signal. Two receivers are wide right. Vera takes a snap, gives it to the second man through. That is Steve Ortman. He picks up 1 on the play. Maybe brought down for no loss. Brought down by right tackle Robert Della Isola.
Robert Della Isola that time shot the gap. Looks like a stunt by the Dartmouth defensive line. Just shot the gap. Hit Ortman, stopping for no gain.
I guess, excuse me, it'll be second and 16. Ball will be on the 18-yard line, so I guess it was a 1-yard loss. You're listening to this game over WXPN, Pennsylvania. And the ball was carried on that second down carry by Rick Amos over the left side. Picks up 4 on the carry. Brought down by inside linebacker David Furman. So, the scoreboard has 3rd and 24 to go, but that is incorrect. We'll call it 3rd and 12. Excuse me, 3rd and 11. Ball will be on the 23-yard line of Pennsylvania. 10 out of the I formation. Going across the middle is Ortman. He has him. Complete. Ortman's on his feet. He's at the 40. Ridden out of bounds at the 45-yard line. Good enough for the first down. On the stop is Dan Carson.
Dan Carson, the last man between Ortman and the goal line. A beautiful swing pass by Vera, letting number 59 outside linebacker John Asher in on him. Asher, apparently the man set to cover Ortman because Ortman had no one around him. Vera conveniently picked him out over the middle. Ortman did the rest on his own. A nifty 20-yard gain after the 43 before being forced out by Carson. Another Quaker first down.
First and 10, Penn on the 43-yard line. They're in the pro set. Now they shift into the I formation. Two receivers are wide right. Pitch to the second man coming through. That is Ortman. Ortman goes forward, picks up 4 on the carry. Paul Willis on the stop for Dartmouth.
Ortman will not be denied. Other than 1 or 2 instances in the first half and 1 here in the second half, Ortman has picked up 3, 4 or more substantial yardage every time he's touched that ball. And it's good to have, good to rely on somebody that can get that for you each and every time.
And he has really been the workhorse in the Pennsylvania Quaker offensive scheme this afternoon. He comes out and he is replaced in the Pennsylvania Quaker lineup by Steve Flacco. And the ball is handed off to number 44, Amos. Amos nudges forward for a 1 or 2 yard gain. He is brought down by John Corbett.
Rick Amos, the ball carrier.
The Quakers again chewing up the yard as they started the drive on their 24. That 20-yard pass to Orban being the big key. They're now to midfield. They're going to face third down three. An interesting call here, John.
Yes, it is. Wide left will be Carl Hall. Wide right is O'Toole. Pennsylvania out of the pro set. 33, ball just shy of midfield. Gary Vera calling signals for the Quakers. He fades back to pass, looking across the middle. He has the man, and he's close to the first down. It'll be O'Toole, I believe. Let's see where the referees spot the ball.
Flacco.
Excuse me, that is Steve Flacco who's been inserted into the Quaker lineup, making the catch, coming out of the backfield, and depending upon where the referees do mark the ball, let's see if the Quakers have the first down.
Don, this is going to be 1 or 2 inches in either direction. I think this is a poor spot by the officials. They are right out in front of us on this particular play. Seeing that Steve lunged forward to the 46. They spotted the ball at the 47. And only the referees will tell us if the Quakers got the first down. They do have it by half the length of the football.
And Steve Flacco is an interesting story. He played against Dartmouth 2 years ago in the opening game of the season, was injured. He had a very promising future for the Quakers. He missed the rest of that 1980 season, missed the 1981 season. He has really come back very strongly for Pennsylvania, and now he's done a very nice job backing up Steve Ortman at that halfback position. It'll be first and 10. The Quakers have it on the 47-yard line of Dartmouth. Vera calling signals. Gives it to Amos. Amos going over the left side. He fumbled forward. It's still loose. It's recovered by Pennsylvania.
Recovered by Garrett Vera and Don. I just cannot believe the left back in this game with Penn Jennings. Captain Dave Nevlin, all he had to do was fall on the ball. He fell on it. Looks like his helmet fell on it. It's squibbed out. Garrett Vera standing there for no apparent reason, 7 yards downfield. Picked up the loose ball. Again, it fell forward for about a 7-yard gain, which should have been a 3-yard gain. Everything's going right today, John. I don't know how to put it.
Another interesting twist in Jerry Burns' playbook. It'll be 2nd and 4, ball on the Dartmouth 41-yard line. Lone man in the backfield for Pennsylvania is now Chuck Nolan. And the ball is loose. Bad snap. And it is recovered once again by Gary Vera.
Vera probably now the nation's leader in fumble recovery this year, John. 2 on successive plays. That a bad snap. Dartmouth didn't see it falling on by Vera. And Lady Luck is certainly watching out for the Quakers today. It might sound repetitive, but it is repetitive.
The cliche is, it's better to be lucky than good. It'll be 3rd and 4. Ball is on the 41-yard line of Dartmouth. Wide left is Hall. Wide right is Sirik. Pennsylvania has one man in the backfield. Gary Vera calling signals for the Quakers. He fades back the pass. Looking across the middle. Going deep for Cole Holmes. Opening grab. A touchdown, Pennsylvania. Cole Holmes going straight across the middle. Beat 2 Dartmouth defenders. Grab the pass for the touchdown. And Pennsylvania goes up 20-0.
John, team speed. There it is. Evidence. Cole Holmes getting behind the Dartmouth defense. They had been lured. By the short runs, the short passes the Quakers had. That play, just a post straight over the middle, nothing fancy. Neal lobbed the ball, a little bit overthrown, but Carl Hall made a nice lunging catch as he fell in the middle of the end zone. Seems to be who's being held up by the defenders. He might have fallen on the ball, but just a beautiful play, Don. Carl Hall catching his 2nd touchdown pass of the day. The Quakers go on top 20-0. And this is unbelievable.
The Quakers came in here a 2-touchdown, Dartmouth was a 2-touchdown favorite, and now the Quakers look to extend their lead to 21 as Dave Shulman will try to put through the extra point. Here's the snap, here's the kick, it is up, and it is good! So, with 10 minutes and 17 seconds remaining to be played in the third quarter, by virtue of Carl Hall's 41-yard touchdown reception and Dave Shulman's extra point conversion, the Quakers go up 21-0.
Down at a more subtle level, I guess this game has influenced each and every Quaker now and gotten them pumped up. Dave Shulman kicked that ball almost into Vermont. That ball would have been good from 60. Too bad it was only an extra point.
Unbelievable. That's the only word to express our sentiments here. We don't mean to be overly repetitive or redundant, what have you, but the Quakers just shocking everybody. Jerry Burnt is the eternal optimist, and he, I'm sure, expected to win, but I don't think he ever expected to be up 21-0 in the third quarter.
Don, to be truthful, when I talked to Coach Burnt before the game, and he expressed optimism toward the Ivy League title, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but now he's proving it right here, and I have to second guess myself.
Here's a low kick. It goes off of one Dartmouth player, and it is then
fallen on by another at the 22-yard line for the Dartmouth Big Green. So they'll start off on their own 21-yard line trying to generate some sort of offensive production. Let's see if Pulcinello is still the quarterback for the Big Green. Sean Marr is not in the lineup. Lavery is in there at the halfback position. And for Dartmouth, it will be Pulcinello calling signals. They're out of the I formation. Two receivers are wide left. Now in motion is Lavery. Dropping back, a short out. Is Pulcinello. He has Daly. Daly is ridden out of bounds by Waterfield at the 33-yard line. It'll be good enough for the first down. Daly has probably been the lone bright spot in an otherwise dismal Dartmouth performance.
That's very true, John. This one out for a 10-yard little...
Picks up a half a yard, maybe a yard. He's going nowhere.
It doesn't look like the left tackle number 75. Blake Sister jumped offside. That's what the call is. Illegal procedure against Dartmouth.
The second infraction of this ball game against Schuster, Pennsylvania. The third infraction, actually, against that linesman. And Pennsylvania should take the penalty. Let's see what Jerry Burnt decides to do. Schuster comes out of the lineup, ironically, and he is replaced.
He looks to be hurt, Don. He's paving his left knee. I can't see getting hurt jumping off sides. Lays him in as everything else today.
And Pennsylvania has declined the penalty. So it will be second and eight ball on the 36-yard line. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Two receivers are wide right. Pulcinello calling signals.
Is it?
Daly is wide right. And going right. It's Pulcinello. He'll take himself. He has some room. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. He's brought down on the 49-yard line. On the play for Pennsylvania is Mike Oaken.
John, we've gotten word back from Philadelphia that Jason's received a call that Chuck Robert may not be punting for Penn today. That could be number 86, Dave Bottomore, who was supposed to be the punter. I was wondering why Chuck Grobbert was thrust into that role. What happened to Dave Bottomore?
And Grobbert was listed as number 86 on our depth chart, so we apologize if we have made an error. It'll be first and 10 on the 49-yard line for Dartmouth. Pitches to the second man going left. That is Lavery. He has some room. He's into Pennsylvania territory where he is whistled out of bounds by number 41, Ross Armstrong.
Nice play by Armstrong, saving the touchdown. He's the last man between him and the goal line. Certainly that last bit of information provided by our able engineer, Ross Wiener, doing layman's duty back in Philadelphia today, Don. As always, what a guy.
So complimentary. Just because the guy's sports director, hell, you want to get it on his good side.
You better believe it.
It'll be first and 10, ball on the 39-yard line of Pennsylvania. Ross, by the way, does do a good job. I'm only kidding you, Ross. First and 10, Pulcinello calling signals out of the I formation, giving it to the second man through, going left and going nowhere, I might add, is Peter Lavery. He picks up maybe a yard. The ever-present Matt Finn on the stop for Pennsylvania.
Don, Matt Finn not starting last year, forced Dan Prendergast, Pennsylvania captain last year, starting at the linebacker spot, inside linebacker the first 8 or 9 games before being replaced himself. Finn is just a tremendously bright spot in the Quaker defense today. He's been in on 9 solo tackles, 6 assists up to this point.
And Joe Lorenz comes into play nose tackle, replacing Bill Lista on the 2nd and 8 situation on the Pennsylvania 37-yard line. Pulcinello calling signals for Dartmouth. Dartmouth out of the I formation. Now in motion is Lavery. Rolling right is Pulcinello. He spots Lavery at the 40. Lavery dives forward to the 33-yard line, but he's about 2 or 3 yards short of the first down.
Don, somewhat reminiscent of last year. Marr not playing well. Lavery coming in and doing the job. They seem to be going to him with a pass, with a run, trying to duplicate last year's performance. However, the score being quite different at this point than last year.
You're right about that, Paul, and it's interesting because Marr was the second best halfback in the league behind Rich Diana, who, by the way, is currently playing for the Miami Dolphins. And against Pennsylvania, Marr hardly looks like all intramural, let alone all Ivy. And it's interesting how certain players have good games against certain opponents. And Pennsylvania is certainly not one of Sean Marr's favorite opponents. It'll be 3rd and 5, ball on the 34-yard line. Pitch back into Lavery. He has no room. He is bottled up by an inspired Penn defense. Mike Christiani and Jim Dumphy, the two outside linebackers, collaborating on the stop. And Dartmouth is now faced with a 4th
down and 4 yards to go situation.
Don, today as always, you might not mention it every time, just mention the lead hit. Pennsylvania's gang tackling on defense, not just one man is there, but two or three every time. You might break one tackle, it's tough to break two or three. The extra security is helping the Quakers. There's very few Dartmouth runners in any on second effort today.
And Dartmouth will go for it on fourth down, a big play, fourth and four on the 33-yard line of Pennsylvania. Out of the split backfield, Polfinello being rushed, and he is brought down. He is sacked on the play. Captain Mike Cristiani stops. Dartmouth, Pennsylvania will take down.
Incredible, Don. Mike Cristiani is shooting the gap, blitzing from his outside left linebacker position, taking Polfinello across the field, who actually had Lavery. I don't know why he didn't throw it. Making the stop at the 41, an 8-yard loss. Pennsylvania will take over on down there.
Pennsylvania taking over on down. Unbelievable, Paul. Pennsylvania playing a great game on both sides of the football. They'll have it first and 10 on their own 41-yard line. They're out of the I formation. Gary Gura calling signals. Now they go to the split backfield. Long cadence. He gives it to the first man through. That is Chuck Nolan. Nolan picks up a yard, maybe two, on the carry. Brought down by David Furman.
Don, Chuck Nolan almost missing a handoff on that play, gathered it together well, kept his composure, went through for the line for about two. Could this be Pittsburgh, Don, in Penn uniforms? I can't believe I'm watching a Quaker football team. What an impressive performance, and I keep saying it, but I have to, really.
Unbelievable. Shocking upset in the making for the Quakers. Let's realize that there's still 21 minutes of football left to be played this afternoon. Second and seven, ball on the 44-yard line, 10 out of the I formation. Here's a fake. Now give a quick out to Carl Hall. Hall dives forward to the 48-yard line.
On the wide receiver screen that the Dallas Cowboys use very well. Not set up terribly well by the Quakers that time. The lineman didn't get out the pull. Therefore, when Hall caught the ball, he was swarmed by the Dartmouth tacklers, and Hall remains on the field at the 48. Looks to be something in his left leg. Looks to be a cramp in the calf from here. Let's hope it's nothing serious, and Hall can return to the Quaker lineup quickly.
And the Quakers are hovering around Hall now. The Quakers, trainers, I should say, along with Jerry Burke, who sprinted across the field looking dapper in his yellow sweater this afternoon. You're right, it appears to be a crap. Hall is walking off on his own volition, and it'll be third and three on the Pennsylvania 48-yard line. Hall will be replaced in the Quaker lineup by Warren Bueller. 33 on the 48-yard line for the Quakers. A little bit under 6 minutes remaining to be played in the third quarter. John Fine and Paul Jolovitz calling all the action for you live from Memorial Field. Gary Gura calling signals. Pennsylvania out of the split backfield. Here's a quick out, and it's caught. Let's see. There's a penalty marker down on the play. Is it a good reception? Yes, it is complete. To Bueller. It'll be good enough for the first down.
John, Fran Manning, the backup safety for Dartmouth. A silly play. It's going to be 15 yards personal foul. Bueller making a sliding catch already on the ground. A couple full seconds later, Manning coming in spearing him. I'm sure Joe Yukika not too enthralled at that terrible mental blunder by Manning that will give the Quakers a first down deep in Dartmouth territory at the 30. Everything going wrong for the Big Green today, much to our delight, I might add.
No doubt about that. And let us add, maybe it's very obvious, but in the professional game, that would have been a very legal hit. But in college, you don't have to necessarily tackle the player in order for him to be down. If his knee or his ankle hits the ground, what have you, the man is officially down. As a result, it was a late illegal hit on the part of the Dartmouth safety. Pennsylvania has a first and 10 on the Dartmouth 31-yard line, pitches to the second man through. That is Flacco. Flacco picks up five on the pitch, brought down by Mike Lena, the nose guard, making the play for Dartmouth along with David Furman.
5 yards for Steve Flacco, senior from Collingswood, New Jersey, who's had a couple tough years since he was injured. Steve also standard outfield on the baseball team. One of the genuine nice guys you'd meet anywhere around Penn, John.
So it'll be second and four. Call it 5.5 or 6 yard pickup on the play by Flacco at the 25-yard line of Dartmouth. Penn is driving once again. They're out of the I formation. Two receivers are wide right. Now in motion is O'Toole. Give it off to the first man through. He picks up one, maybe two on the carry. And that was Rick Amos making the carry. Steve Carroll on the tackle, a backup linebacker for Dartmouth.
John. Something kind of strange in this game. I was told by one of my friends back home, Gary Epstein, before the game that Pennsylvania would set Dartmouth out while scoring at least 28 points. I told him he was crazy. It looks like that might happen. And he might be our new Karnak here, our prognosticator for Penn football.
I didn't know you had any friends, Paul.
Two, John.
Speaking about two, that's what the Quakers have to go for the first down. Third and two, ball on the 23-yard line of Dartmouth. They're out of the pro set. Gary Vera calling signals for Pennsylvania. Vera rolling right. Looking across the middle, he has Bueller, and he is down on the 20-yard line, and it's good enough for the first down.
First down of the 20, a sliding catch made by Bueller. Very bright. Some back might have tried to make a shoe-top catch and keep running with the ball and therefore drop the ball. Bueller realized he had the first down, sliding, making the catch. Mental presence by Penn is all over the place today, John.
Especially impressive considering that that play was conducted by a sophomore wide receiver. Jerry Burt's whole offense and defense showing remarkable plays this afternoon. It'll be first and 10 for Pennsylvania. They are driving. They have the ball in the Dartmouth 20-yard line. Gary Vera calling signals. He'll go straight back to pass. He looks left and he has a man at the 5-yard line. Chip Schulte on the reception for Pennsylvania. Brought down on the play by Dave Neslin, the inside linebacker for Dartmouth. It'll be first and goal to go on the Dartmouth 5-yard line.
Beautiful play by the Quakers. A timing pattern to Schulte. A whistling bullet by Vera through the two linebackers to Schulte at the 5. Textbook play. And I might add, John, that take it away for a second, John. I'm not able to speak. I'm kind of excited. Let me being a bit flip here and joking around a little. It's nice to be laughing with the Quakers instead of at them.
Oh, no doubt about that. First and 5. First and goal to go at the 5. Triple House backfield. Here's the fake. Muir is rolling right, looking across the middle, and the ball is batted away.
Don, in the eyes of myself that time, it looked like Don Pomeroy, a reserve linebacker for Dartmouth, Blakely, nailed Steve Flacco before the ball got there. Steve Flacco agreeing with me, however the officials agreeing otherwise, as always, their opinion wins out. So it'll be second 5 for the Quakers. It really looked kind of obvious, Don. Did you see the same thing?
Oh, it was a suspect call by the referee. I'll give you that. Marty Dunleavy also seeing his first action of the game for Pennsylvania on that play. It'll be second and goal to go at the 5-yard line. Pennsylvania out of the I formation. Vera going back to pass, looking left. Ball is batted away at the last second. On the play for Dartmouth, a great play, I might add, is Dan Carson.
John, I hate to be repetitive and sound like a homer, but Dan Carson diving right through Jeff Schulte to get to that ball. Schulte can fend it to the rest to no avail. Seems that you can't get to the ball without going through the man. You go through the man, but when you go through the man, they're supposed to call something. They didn't, and it's third down for the Quakers. Dartmouth getting a couple auspicious officiating breaks on the last two plays.
Paul, Pennsylvania leads by 3 touchdowns. If they can convert here, they could pretty much seal the fate of the Dartmouth Big Green this afternoon. Third and goal to go on the 5-yard line. Vera calling signals. Pennsylvania out of the I formation. It is a long count. Now going split right is Flacco. Give it off to Nolan. Nolan bowling forward to the 3 or 2-yard line. Fine individual effort by Nolan on the play. It'll be fourth and goal to go at about the 2.5-yard line.
John, for the first time today, I really can't understand that call. This is straight in off. Maybe Coach Burnfield and a field goal put the game out of reach because that was surely a fake call rather than one that would be more daring and have a greater chance to achieve a score. I can't argue with Coach Burnfield today the way he's going.
You're right about that. It should be a chip shot for Dave Shulman. Call it a 19-yard field goal for Shulman. Maybe we'll say 20 yards. Here's a snap. Here's the kick. It is up, and it is no good.
No good. They've hooked that one to the left a little bit. He was kicking from the left hash mark. Didn't quite get it through. It's about the first negative thing that's happened to the Quakers all day. However, they retained their 21-0 lead. Here with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left in the third quarter, Dartmouth will take over on their own 20, John.
Nevertheless, one has to be impressed with the Quakers' offensive drive. You know, last year the Quakers permitted 33 points to Dartmouth. However, the Quakers did not play a bad defensive game. You have to realize that, Paul. Much of Dartmouth's 33 points could be attributable to a shoddy offensive performance. Well, today the Quakers are certainly doing much better in that aspect of their game. Paul Finello pitches to the second man going around the left side. That is Lavery. Lavery picks up maybe 3 on the play. Mike Oaken on the stop for Pennsylvania.
Again, Mike Oaken, the cornerback, disregarding the pass. No team speed by Dartmouth. He doesn't have that threat to contend with. He comes up hits the running back in his track. Maybe a 2 yard gain by Lavery. It'll be second made for Dartmouth.
And Bill Lister went down momentarily on that play, but he's up and he's running off to the sideline, and he is replaced in the middle of that Pennsylvania Quaker solid defense by Joe Lorenz, who also, by the way, I might add, is another fine sophomore. It'll be second and 8. Ball is on the 22-yard line of Dartmouth. They are out of the I formation. Two receivers are wide right. Fulfinello calling signals for the big green. Now in motion is Lavery. Low man in the backfield is Bruno. Rolling right is Fulfinello, and he'll keep it himself. Now he's running left, and he dives forward to the 35-yard line, which will be good enough for a Dartmouth big green first down.
Don, he picked up 12 on the play. He did get the first down, but again, it's got to be encouraging that he can't find a receiver. He can't even find a receiver. He's going to take a shot at threading the ball through. They're just being covered very well by the Quaker secondary and the linebackers. If he's going to get 12 scrambling once in a while, then so be it. Better than getting 30 or 40 on a deep pass.
And he leaves himself susceptible to all sorts of injuries by constantly running. I don't know how long he can continue to do that. It'll be first and 10 on the Dartmouth 35-yard line. Pulsinello calling signals, gives it to the second man. Going left, that is Lavery. He is strung out of bounds by Jim Dumphy and Mike Oaken making the play for the Quakers. Pulsinello picks up maybe a yard or two. Excuse me, Lavery maybe a yard or two on the play. And the Quakers doing a nice job stringing out that play.
Don, it seems like the Dartmouth big green are going to try to march down the field to get some rhythm and momentum started. It's kind of late to start that. I think they should be going to the air a little bit more now. 56 seconds left in the third quarter. Let's see how this logic by Coach Ikeka progresses.
Second and 9, ball on the 36-yard line of Dartmouth. They're out of the I formation. Pulsinello calling signals. He takes it to Lavery. Play action pass. Pulsinello has to run again. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. Brought down at the 46-yard line.
No, I cannot believe the coverage by the Quakers. I was focusing on the secondary myself that time. They had everybody blanketed. Of course, Pulsinello did pick up the first down again. He was hit by about 6 Quakers, as he said. And how much longer can he take this?
Mike Oaken on the stop for Pennsylvania.
Don, an interesting point also. I would guess, hazard a guess, that Pulsinello must be the leading Dartmouth rusher by leaps and bounds at this time. Certainly not what Coach Ikeka had in mind at the beginning of the game.
No doubt about that. Very good point, Paul. It'll be first and 10. Dartmouth has it on their own 41-yard line. 30 seconds and running down remaining to be played in the third quarter. They're out of the I formation. Two receivers are wide right. Give it to the second man. Three, that is Lavery going straight up the middle. He picks up maybe 3 or 4 on the carry. A little bit shy of midfield. He is stopped by Smith.
Don, a felicitous display of defense today by the Quaker 11, using one of your words. As the third quarter runs out here, I haven't seen a better Quaker performance in 4 years, and Dartmouth, with their lack of a game plan, it seems the offense is helping that out a little bit.
John Fine and Paul Jalovich, the loquacious Paul Jalovich, I might add, live from Memorial Field. That is the end of the third quarter with a score of Pennsylvania 21, Dartmouth nothing. We'll be back with more Ivy League football at its best right after this message.
On Saturday, October 2nd, the Columbia Lions invade Franklin Field to take on our own Pennsylvania Quakers. Join WXPN Sports as we bring you all the exciting football action. Insight from Coach Jerry Byrne at 1 o'clock, followed by the game at 1:30. Follow all Quaker football action on WXPN 88.9, the voice of Quaker football.
Back now at Dartmouth Stadium, Memorial Field, Hanover, New Hampshire, as we start the fourth quarter. Dartmouth with the ball, Pulsinello fading back, he throws, caught, but out of bounds by number 5, Donald Lezniczak. About a 20-yard out pattern, very impressive throw by Pulsinello. However, John Waterfield, number 46, getting in front of the play, forcing a high throw. Dartmouth Lezniczak out of bounds with the ball when he came down with it. It'll be 3rd and 7 for Dartmouth on their own 49-yard line.
Great play by Waterfield. You'll remember he had another great play in the Quakers' 1981 season opener as he saved the game against Cornell with a hit on the last play from scrimmage. Pennsylvania winning that one 29-22, looking once again to open up their season in similar fashion.
Well, Snow barking signals right and left as both receivers are split right. Now, Lesnar comes in motion. Postnell drops back the pass. He's going deep, very deep for Daly. Well covered, though, an intercepted for Pennsylvania. Picked up by number 41, Ross Armstrong, bringing it back into the 30, the 35. He's hit there and falls forward to the 37.
The interception.
Hit made by number 70, Tom Broadhead, but Armstrong and Mike Olson ably double covering Tom Daly on the play. Daly not being able to get deep as Carl Hall did. Back to team speed. Ball picked off by Armstrong, about a 20-yard return of the interception. There's a flag down. Clipping will be called against Pennsylvania at the 34-yard line. But that certainly doesn't negate the fine interception by the sophomore Ross Armstrong. In return, Pennsylvania will take over at about the 19-yard line, Tom.
That is true, and let's give a lot of credit to George Lewis, who came rumbling in and really wreaked havoc for Frank Pulcinello, and Pulcinello unloaded at the last minute and took a brutal shot by Lewis also, and that was highly instrumental in that ill-advised pass by Pulcinello, and as a result, the Quakers were able to intercept the ball. Of course, they were penalized 15 yards for that clipping penalty, so they'll start off on their own 19-yard line.
First and 10, of course, for the Quakers after an interception by Ross Armstrong and the ill-advised throw by Pulcinello. Here it comes up to the line, the pro set. Hands straight off to Amos. Amos pulling his way forward for about five. That's maybe the 24-yard line tackle made for Dartmouth by number 93, David Furman, and number 95, Keith Getter. That'll set up second and five for the Quakers. With 14:27 left in the game, Pennsylvania 21, Dartmouth nothing. Let me repeat that. That's true. Pennsylvania 21, Dartmouth nothing. A shutout for the Quakers today in a magnificent performance. All around, offensively, defensively, special teams, kicking.
Even the Penn cheerleaders have done a good job today.
A little snide remark by Sean Fine. Jura back to pass. Sets up the screen over the middle to Amos. Set up beautifully. Amos over the 30, over the 40. Runs straight into co-captain James Everett. And Mike passes for Dartmouth and is hit, but falls forward for about two more to the 40. That'll be first down for the Quakers. Just a simple screen over the middle, John. Jura drew the whole defensive line in, threw the ball to Amos. No one around him, and Amos did the rest on his own.
Paul, that play was poetry in motion. Rick Amos delayed for about 2 or 3 seconds and went out, had clear sailing ahead, picked up a huge gain, good enough for a Pennsylvania Quaker first down. The Quakers are really executing perfectly this afternoon.
O'Toole split left. Zero split right. Excuse me, Lewis split right. And Zero hands off to Amos, who's hit but stumbles forward for about seven. Out to the 47, hit at the line of scrimmage. The bowling ball like Rick Amos with a very strong leg and size. Kept his balance, fell forward for 6 more yards to the 47.
Making
a second three, the tackle, number 51, John Asher. About 25,000 people looked here today at Dartmouth Stadium. The Dartmouth side full, but you won't hear much noise from them as their big green are being soundly trumped by our Quakers today. Second down three. Vera fumbles the snap, covers it, thereby extending his NCAA lead in fumble recoveries to three. It's going to be tough to catch at this rate, John.
That's a dubious record, I'm sure. Vera doesn't want to hold that one. Justin Burns, I'm sure, is not pleased by his 9-game losing streak, which is well on the way to being broken this afternoon. And Gary Vuero, though you hate to compliment the guy after there's a fumbled snap, but he showed a lot of composure, again, just choosing to fall on the ball.
Very true, John. A fumbled snap, that's the second time it has happened today. Back to the action, a third and four for the Quakers at 0-46 in the pro set. O'Toole's split left. Vuero faking the handoff. Rubin, he throws now for Bueller, a beautiful sliding catch by Warren Bueller, the Dartmouth 39, tightly covered on the play by number 28, Mike Pastis, a beautiful sliding catch by sophomore Warren Bueller, now this body is a 38-yard line, a gain of 20 yards, that'll be a Quaker first down, nice throw by Vuera, who was under heavy pressure by number 72, Robert Della Isola, beautiful composure by the senior from Miami Lakes, beautiful catch by Warren Bueller, John.
No doubt about it. Great block by Rubin after the fake to him also. We haven't heard much from Rubin this afternoon, but he comes in on a rare occasion and does a very nice job for the Quakers.
The senior from Winthrop, Massachusetts, Steve Rubin, now in for the first time, I might add. At Sirik's foot left, O'Toole's foot right, then the I formation. Vuera takes the snap, rolling left, can't find anybody. He's going to run it. He slides at the 34, a la Joe Theismann.
Vuera on the run.
Still gains four. Stop by a host of Dartmouth tacklers led by number 20, John Corbin, number 94, Mac Jackson.
One of the few times this afternoon that the Dartmouth defense has been able to exert any sort of pressure on Gary Vera.
Vera again showing his senior poise, not trying to bowl through those four Dartmouth tacklers, sliding down, saving his body, gaining four, second six, ball on Dartmouth 34, the I formation. Dartmouth looks blitz. They have 5 men up on the line. They do. The ball is handed to Reuben, who's just grabbed by one ankle by number 49, Dave Nevlin. He was off for a long game. He gets three anyway, down to the 31. It's going to set up third and three. John Nevlin stopped a long one there.
Good play by Nevlin. And what's really important about this drive is that Pennsylvania has already taken off at least 3.5 minutes, most probably 4 minutes of the clock. There are only 11 minutes and 20 seconds remaining to be played in this ball game. And Pennsylvania, by going to the ground attack, the short pass, is doing a very nice job running off the clock.
Third and three, Vera takes it on the option. Pitch to Reuben behind him. Reuben picks the ball up at the 45, where he's hit immediately by number 20, John Corbett. And number 51, John Asher, pitched well behind Reuben.
Manning on the cover.
For one of the few times this afternoon, Pennsylvania not executing properly on offense. As a result, they'll have a 4th and 17 situation, and punting for Pennsylvania will be Bottomore.
Gray and Bottomore punting for the Quakers now, not Chuck Robert. Punt is end over end. Fair catch called by Lavery at the 10 and made, although bobbled. Dartmouth will start from there, 1st and 10. On offense, we have 10 minutes 38 seconds left in the game, and John, while we have a moment, the Quaker offense stopped there, however. As you said, another smart play. Reuben fumbled the pitch, not attempting to pick it up and run with it. Just falling on it, saving the punt. Dartmouth now starting at their 10 as opposed to up in midfield where they could have gotten that ball.
Well, Jerry Burns has had a year to implement his program. He's really instilled, as again, to use these cliches, a lot of poise, a lot of composure into the squad, and they are really exemplifying that this afternoon. They lead 21 to nothing, but again, it's not an insurmountable lead. There's still 10.5 minutes of football to be played.
As Paul Snow rolls out, he completes it to a Lesnizak. Lesnizak on the turn in at the 24-yard line. That should be a first down for Dartmouth. Stopped by number 46, John Waterfield. John, I concur in singing praise for Coach Burns, who's obviously got the team very ready to play, very prepared this year. The assistant coaches and their respective specialties seem to have each unit highly tuned for this opener. We just must commend the coaching staff. First and 10 for Dartmouth. They have the ball on their own 25. They're in the I formation. Daly split right. Lesnizak split left as they have the ball on the right hash mark. Postanella barking signals. Almost takes too much time. He hands off to Lavery. Lavery out over the middle. Gaping hole to the middle. He runs out to 13. After the 38, stop made by number 46, John Waterfield. And number 41, Ross Armstrong. The seems to have supplanted Keenan Nix at the safety position. We're not sure if Keenan's injured, but Ross has seen almost all the playing time today. One of the few instances down in that play where they opened a sizable hole for the runner.
That's true. One of the few times that Dartmouth has attempted to go straight up the middle also.
Postmelo sets over center. Both receivers split left. First and 10. Ball on the 38-yard line. Postmelo fakes the handoff. Pitches to Lavery. Ill-designed play. He's hit immediately at the 40-yard line by number 72, David Smith.
Good pursuit that time by Pennsylvania. They were not in any way fooled by that Dartmouth fake. Good play by Christiani and Smith, as you mentioned. And Pennsylvania has expended, I believe, their first timeout of the second half. They'll have two more remaining.
I can't think of why they had done that, John, except for some defensive malfunction, maybe two subs coming on for one player. I think that's what happened. That pick, of course, Don Lavery giving it away, just standing there, kind of the flat, waiting for Postmelo to pitch, is what he did. He was swarmed, led by number 72, David Smith, fought his way through a multitude, and I do mean a multitude, of early season injuries to be ready for this first game.
You know, Paul, Dartmouth on paper has the best offense in the league, and Pennsylvania is taking that offense for granted. Only on paper do they have this best offense, but Pennsylvania is just completely destroying it, controlling the line of scrimmage, making great plays in the secondary. The linebacking corps has been truly outstanding. It has been a complete 11-man effort on the part of the Pennsylvania Quaker defense to today.
Very true, Don. As you know, games aren't played on paper. That being evidenced today very well by this Quaker team.
And Postnow back past the blitz is on. Postnow a hit. Gets it out to Lavely, who just dropped the ball.
In zone 43, Postnow is standing in there well under the pressure of 55 Matt Finn and 77 Jennings McFadden, who hit him as he released the ball. Lavery just dropped the ball, John. He could have had some yardage on that play.
Lavery being covered by outside linebacker Mike Cristiani. Cristiani was 2 or 3 yards away from Lavery, and I guess Lavery heard footsteps, and I guess when it rains, it pours. That's the cliche, and that is really proving out true today for Joe Yukika and his Dartmouth Big Green squad.
When it rains, it pours, John. We're having a hurricane, at least a very bad tropical storm for Dartmouth today. And incidentally, as I said before, it's getting very sunny out now.
Torrential downpour for Dartmouth.
Very true. WXPN weatherman John Fine there. And Dartmouth set 3rd and 8 on their own 40. Postnello back to pass. He's looking over the middle. Picked off by number 75, Matt Finn. And it's 40-yard line. Matt Finn back to the 39. Stepping in front of number 32, Tom Billy, beautifully kicking off the pass, returning to the 39-yard line. That Matt's second interception today, along with a multitude of tackles, John.
Great play by Finn. Dumpy had Daly covered man-on-man, or perhaps in the zone. Pulsinello obviously did not see Finn. Finn just snuck right in front of Daly, picked the pass off, and Pennsylvania has the ball on the Dartmouth 39-yard line. Paul, it's safe to say that if the Quakers can convert here, they can put the Big Green away this afternoon, if the outcome of the game, I might add, has not already been decided.
I think 11 John Fines can almost hold this lead now, the way the Quakers are playing. As Vera pitches out to Rubin. Rubin with great second effort, fight to one tackle, back to another. He's back over the 30-yard line. We talk about a host of Dartmouth players led by number 93, David Robin. Rubin with second and third effort on that play, fighting on tackle after tackle with great determination. Maybe the show coach Burns, since he belongs in the tailback spot, picks up 8 yards down to the 31, where it'll be second and 2.
I remember Rubin's debut against Brown 2 years ago. Really, the
again, this time Rubin stacked up on the lines for no gain. Maybe he's out of yard. Was hit by number 20, John Corbett, number 78, Chris Cogiulo. It'll be 3rd and 1 for the Quakers coming into the backfield, throwing in the play, number 38, Steve Blacko, replacing Rubin. And John, you notice when Pulsinello came to the sidelines after that last pass, he shook his head and said, "What can I do, Coach Yukika?" And Coach Yukika just seems to have no answer today as to what to do with this combative 10 squad. Vera sets in the I formation, 3rd and 1. Takes the handoff. Blacko throws a little sulky complete. Sulky down to the 22-yard line. And a simple crossing pattern by the tight end. Slipped underneath the linebackers. Took the pass, went down to the 22-yard line, where he was hit by senior captain Dave Neville.
The University of Pennsylvania record. 23 passes completed by Vera.
Arizona has just broken the Pennsylvania record for passes completed in a single game, 23. We'd like to congratulate him for that. That fact just made to us by the Dartmouth PA announcer.
Incredible performance, Paul. Just incredible.
Arizona now sets the team 1st down and 10 on the 22-yard line. Hands quickly to Amos. Amos ahead for maybe 1, possibly 2, before he's hit by number 51, John Asher. And number 91, Andy Osmond. It'll be 2nd and 8. 23 passes complete, John. He had a great game last year in the first game against Cornell, but this is a completely different kind of game. Has to give them a lot of confidence going to next week against Lehigh, a team that I think will show more resilience than the Dartmouth squad has shown today.
I would tend to think so, Paul.
Vera setting up 2nd and 8, ball on the 20. Hand off to Amos. Amos for about 4 down to the 16.
Hand off to Amos.
The last few plays, Pennsylvania has just given the ball right to a fullback or halfback going straight up the middle. No trickery, no guile, no deception involved. And that's all right as far as Jerry Burton is concerned, because that takes off precious time from the time clock. Now we're approaching 6 minutes remaining to be played in this ball game. Pennsylvania, a 2-touchdown underdog, currently leads Dartmouth 21-0. Pennsylvania has the ball, and they are driving.
Driving at the 16-yard line, John. That true 3rd down 4. O'Toole and Hall split right. Vera hands inside the Flacco. Flacco's game going to get maybe 1. Stop by number 58, Hal Bork. That'll set up a 4th down and 3, placing the ball, however, right between the uprights at the 14-yard line for Dave Shulman.
So Shulman, who earlier missed a 19-yard field goal, will attempt what should be about a 33-yard field goal, maybe call it 31. Let's see where they're going to place the ball.
31-yard field goal attempt by Dave Schulman, who was hitting consistently from 45 before the game in warm-up. Let's see how he can do here. The snap is good, the hold is good, the kick is... Oh, he hit the right upright, his ball hit the right upright and bounced away. An unfortunate break for Dave Schulman. Has plenty of distance. This cam's away, no good. Dartmouth will take over on their own 20. First down with 5 minutes, 6 seconds left in the game. Pennsylvania still leads 21-0. A shutout for the Quakers, huh?
Who would have expected it? Who would have expected it at all? Pennsylvania shocking everybody. They are up 21-0, and barring a major miracle, the Quakers will break that 9-game losing streak. They will start off the 1982 season with a big win away against co-Ivy champion Dartmouth. Unbelievable, Paul.
That's all we can say right now. You're back in Philadelphia. You might think we're saying it a lot, but we are. Here's a reverse try by Dartmouth. Number 5, Jack Lezizak. Lezizak up for about 15 to the 35. The handoff. Stop on number 35, Matt Finn. Number 39, Jim Dunphy. Handoff for Dartmouth to Daly. That's a double end around, handed back to Lezizak, who went out for 15 to the 35. Dartmouth resorting to trickery here, John.
Yakika pulling out all stops in desperation, trying to get at least one score on the scoreboard.
Postmello set to the 35 in the I formation, dropping back to pass. He unloads it for Lezizak. Beautiful diving one-hand attempt, however, incomplete at the Pennsylvania 46-yard line. Coverage from Pennsylvania. Number 24, Mike Cristiani. Number 22, Tim Chambers. It'll set up second. Yeah, a nice effort, though, down by Lezizak.
It definitely was, but the ball was overthrown, and great coverage by Pennsylvania.
As has been the case throughout the day, John.
4:34 remaining to be played in this ball game. The assistant beating the professor, if you will. Jerry Byrd coming back to defeat Yakika.
Well, was he ever an assistant for Yakika, John? I think
yes, he was, the last year.
Okay, stand corrected. On my colleague. Postmello back to pass on second 10. He's going to go short to Tom Bruno. Tom Bruno cut down at the 40-yard line by number 39, Jim Dunphy. Gain of 5. It'll be 3rd and 5.
But you can see Jerry Byrd clapping his hands. You can see right across the field. He is happy. I mean, he'll be glad to concede that 5 or 6 yard gain for the rest of this ball game.
I find myself looking at the scoreboard every couple minutes now, trying to see if I see it's true. I've seen a masterful performance there by the Quakers. Evidence on the scoreboard. I think it would be a shame if Dartmouth scored now. I think Penn deserves a shutout today, and I hope they get it. Postanello, single back formation, drops straight back. Being chased by Bojo, will lose him. Throws over the middle, wide open is Daly. Oh, Daly across midfield, across the 45 to the 40. He may go, he's down to 30. No, he's at the 25-yard line. A desperation tackle by number 27, Mike Hogan. But Daly coming back against the grain, John, catching the pass, going ahead for about 22 yards on that play down to the 25-yard line. A long bright spot for Dartmouth in quite a while.
No doubt about that. Ball and Daly took the ball on the right side, cut across to the left side. Mike Okun with a nice touchdown saving tackle, and Dartmouth was their longest game this afternoon. I believe this is the deepest that they've penetrated into Quaker territory. They have the ball on the Quaker 24-yard line, 1st and 10, with a bit under 4 minutes remaining to be played in this ball game.
Where Postmello sets in the eye, Daly and Lezizak split right. The pitch to Lavery. Lavery takes on the left side. First hit by number 72, David Bubba Smith. Gain of about 2, where it'll be 2nd and 8.
I don't know why Dartmouth is running the ball at this juncture of the ball game. 3 minutes and 20 seconds remain to be played in the game.
John, I think Coach Yakika has given up all hope of winning and is just trying to get a score now, grinding out one drive to avert a shutout, maybe give his offense a bit of confidence going into their game next week. The only reason or rationale I can see for such a ball control offense. As Postmello sets behind center, 2nd and 9, Postmello rolls right, throws to Lezizak wide open in the 17, where he's hit beautifully by number 22, Tim Chambers. Gain of about 5. It'll be 3rd down and 3. Ball on the 17-yard line, a simple curl out for Lezizak. Postmello hitting him wide open.
Pennsylvania just displaying superiority again on both ends of the football, Paul, and it looks really good. It looks very, very promising for the Quakers this season. Many people laughed when Jerry Burt said that he would be contending for the Ivy League crown this year. Well, he has shown up a lot of his skeptics this afternoon.
Nobody's laughing now, Don. Least of all, Joe Yukika. As Paulson Howell rolls left, he's being chased and caught by number 58, Borgio, fumble. They're going to whistle the play dead, though. Back at the 26-yard line, Borgio breaking through, beating number 75, Slade Schuster to the punt, saving Paulson Howell and collaring him. At the 26-yard line,
Borgio, who Burt labeled to be the best defensive end in the Ivy League last year, coming up with a big sack for the Quakers.
A big sack indeed. 1:47 remaining. 4th and 13 for Dartmouth. This definitely their last gasp. Not a winning, but it's scoring. Postnell sets them, obviously going for it. 4th and 13. Lezenzak and Daly split right along with Lavery as a flanker. Postnell drops. Throws into the end zone. Incomplete. Knocked away by number 27, Mike Ogun, 32, Tom Daly. It looks like the Quakers shut out his field. Stamped and delivered, Don. 1:28 left.
Dartmouth. Oh, Dartmouth has not looked good today. The Quakers have looked marvelous. You have to realize also, Paul, that the Quakers have not won on the road since 1976, when they went up to Palmer Stadium and defeated the Princeton Tigers.
That's right, Don. I believe 76 was your junior year. You're in your 10-year stint at Penn. I haven't seen them play so well. You've had much more time to evaluate the team than I have. Now, Fred Raffini in for the Quakers at quarterback. Gary Vera done for the day. Hands to Ruben. Ruben out for about 5 to the 30. Temper spray a little bit now between James Thornton and... I'm not sure who that is exactly. It looks like David Furman for Dartmouth, but they're separated. No harm, no foul. No flags on the play. The referee is telling each team to cool off. There's 1 minute now left in the game. Pennsylvania is second and 5 on the 30. That's immaterial. The Quakers have won this game, John.
They most certainly have. And this victory also avenges the 40-7 loss that the Quakers suffered 2 years ago in their season opening game at Dartmouth.
That's very true, John, and this has to be just so sweet to Jerry Burn and everybody connected with Penn. Raffini hands to Ruben. Ruben ahead for about 1, but the clock is the enemy now. 38 seconds left until Quaker shutout number 1 of what we hope will be more than 1 this year.
And look at the Pennsylvania Quaker sideline. Just a picture of jubilation. Much credit, Paul, by the way, has to be given to Sheldon Hackney, Pennsylvania's president, and the administration for really backing the football team, really making that commitment to the Pennsylvania Quakers squad. That was perfectly exemplified by the new AstroTurf that was placed on Franklin Field, by the administration allowing the Quakers to have a camp at the Poconos this year. Let's give them some credit also.
As you said that, the game has ended. Hand off to Ruben. Ruben stopped immediately by the holes off the squad, but that's irrelevant. The game has ended. There's a flag on the play. I noticed you're trying to get in well with our university president, Don. Finding a job tough, but I wouldn't have thought that low.
That's unfair, Paul.
The game cannot end on an offensive penalty or defensive penalty. However, it is against Dartmouth, excuse me, offensive penalty. The Quakers now coming out of the field. 21-0 victors over Dartmouth. A glum and sullen Dartmouth, Big Green, snakes away to the center of the field. Congratulations, the Quakers. John. Unreal. What can you say, John?
Unreal. Dartmouth does not know what has hit them. They are absolutely stunned. Pennsylvania, on the other hand, just, as I said, absolutely ecstatic. The PA announcer has just repeated what we mentioned a few minutes ago, Pennsylvania's first road victory since 1976, their first victory of any sort since the first game of last year. Penn goes up 1-0 on the season. They defeat Dartmouth 21-0 in their 1982 season opener.
Don, my roommate, right tackle Don McInerney, kept telling me before the year, we're going to do it this year, Paul, we're going to do it. Sometimes at night I checked him for a pulse. He was okay. Looks like his predictions are coming true, though. A confident Quaker squad playing a confident Quaker game, John. 21-0, jubilantly running off the field here at Memorial Stadium. Still jumping on one each other, one another. I don't know if they quite believe it. They played it at Pocasso, John, today, I think, and that's the most important thing for any team. To do their best, to say their best, was far superior to Dartmouth. Well,
Earlier this year, West Virginia shocked an Oklahoma Sooner squad. Similarly, Boston College ruined Jackie Sherrill's debut for Texas A&M, and those were two stunning upsets, I should say. Well, Paul, this 21-0, 10 victory over Dartmouth has to rank right up there with those upset victories. We'll be back with a recap, a very happy recap of this game, I might add, right after we send it back to WXPN for these messages.
On Saturday, September 25th, the University of Pennsylvania Quakers take on Division I-AA powerhouse, the Lehigh Engineers at Franklin Field. Catch all the exciting action right here on WXPN 88.9 FM, the voice of Quaker football.
Isolated on a remote plantation in the crawling Amazon jungle, and an immense army of ravenous ants is closing in on you, swarming in to eat you alive. A deadly black army from which there is no escape.
Get away from it all from WXPN FM in Philadelphia.
We offer you Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
John, back here at Dartmouth Memorial Stadium, where Pennsylvania has just completed a shocking 21-0 victory over the Dartmouth Big Green. This was not a game. It was a rout from the opening gun. Pennsylvania took their first offensive series, marched down the field, scored, made it 7-0. Subsequent TD passes to Carl Hall, the latter being a spectacular 41-yard bomb, increasingly to 21-0. And that's where it stood, John. 21-0, the Quakers defeat the Dartmouth Big Green in just an awesome performance by our Quakers, something to which students in Philadelphia, alumni, have not been accustomed the last few years, but it looks like Coach Byrne has turned it around and in quite a hurry.
Many people predicted Dartmouth to be on top of the Ivy League this year, and their season is not over. One loss certainly does not end a season for a football team. However, Pennsylvania won in convincing style against a team that was supposed to be among the leaders in the Ivy League at their home field on their season opening day, and you just have to be delighted if you are among the Pennsylvania Quaker faithful at the outcome of this game, 21-0, 10 over Dartmouth. Paul, let's go over some of the individual stars for the Quakers this afternoon. I guess we could go through the whole first and second depth charts for Pennsylvania and say everybody, because it really was a true 22 or 44-man effort, if you will, on the part of the Pennsylvania Quakers. First of all, I guess we should start out with Steve Ortman. Ortman making his first start at halfback was really the workhorse for the Quakers for the whole first half, for much of the third quarter, and he really made what has to be considered to be a very promising debut for the Quakers.
John, very promising isn't the word. Steve Ortman looked like a seasoned veteran in there today. Pulling up through the middle, showed good speed, showed good balance, good determination, and an offense he can't be totally familiar with yet, only running it once in a game, that being today. He did exceptionally well. Steve Ortman being blocked for by Rick Amos, did an exemplary job blocking. Wide receivers haven't played well. I think, John, our MVP has to be quarterback Gary Vera. 23 completions, a new Pennsylvania record. He's won the WXPN Most Valuable Player of the Game Award, as far as I'm concerned, which entitles him to a free roast beef sandwich at Roy Rogers anytime he might choose in the near future.
Okay, I didn't even know such an award existed. Very good, Paul. Yeah, Gary Vera was just tremendous today. And, you know, it all comes back to the leader of the Pennsylvania Quaker squad, which is the quarterback, a leader of any squad is a quarterback, and Vera just masterfully directed the Quakers to 21 points. Carl Hall had a great day for the Quakers. Warren Buehler, a backup wide receiver, did very nice things, as did number 34, Jim O'Toole for Pennsylvania. Rich Sirk, playing, although constrained by injury, also had a very nice day. Steve Rubin in the late going, I guess you might say that he was inserted into the lineup when the outcome of the game, for all intents and purposes, had been decided, but Rubin did a nice job. Steve Flacco, coming off a two-year layoff, this victory has to be especially sweet for him, considering that he was injured in that 40-7 route by Dartmouth. Defensively, 47 route 2 years ago by Dartmouth, I might add. Defensively, Paul, there were a number of standouts for the Quakers as well.
John, I agree. Defensively, the linebacking, I think, of Matt Finn has to stand out, although it was just by a nose and just an incredible show of performance by Jim Dunphy, by Mike Cristiani, by the entire defensive line, pressuring personnel, by the secondary, in just not letting Dartmouth receivers break open. And I think, John, an interesting point about this game is it was a workmanlike effort. It wasn't a spectacular win, save the bomb to Carl Hall. Last year, Pennsylvania won their first game over Cornell in a real nail-biter, 29-22. Their offense that day was three bombs. Therefore, when they went in against Lehigh, they really had nothing to go off of except for the fact that they relied on the spectacular. It's much better to rely on a workmanlike effort. I think this shows a lot more promise than last year. Now they can go into Lehigh knowing they have a set offense, they have a system, they've played well, they know how to use it, and I think this will help them in the year ahead, and I think this really has to hurt Dartmouth. Looking forward to a great year being crushed like this. I wonder how they'll rebound from it.
Dartmouth coming into this game had some questions defensively where they did lose 10 starters. Offensively, again, not to be overly repetitive or to beat a dead horse, but offensively, Dartmouth looked to be the best team in the Ivy League, and they look just completely flat offensively today. Let's give a lot of credit to the Pennsylvania Quaker defense. Mike Cristiani, this has to be a sweet victory for him as well, because you'll remember he was off to a very good start 2 years ago against Dartmouth, and he got injured in that first game. He decided to redshirt that year, came back strong last year, but was injured shortly into the 1981 campaign. Cristiani, for all practical purposes, coming off a two-year inactivity period, and he played a very, very strong game, the Quakers' defensive captain.
That's true, John. Mike Cristiani, as you know, a 50-year senior, wanted this game badly. He's a defensive captain, wanted to set a tone for the year. To Chris DeMaria, the offensive captain, they showed leadership out there, especially Mike Cristiani. I mean, I find myself with a lack of things to say. I keep saying a beautiful performance, a great performance. That's really all we can say. Pennsylvania, we're not sure, of course, on whether Dartmouth has, I hate to say no offense, but no offense, whether this just were bottled down today by the Quakers. They haven't played anybody else, so we're not sure. But if this is an indication of things to come, I think the Quakers in Philadelphia, the Penn students, can be very, very optimistic. Jerry Burnt, in a letter to the Penn students, as you know, promised an exciting team, a competitive team for this year, and it looks like Jerry is going past himself this time. This sweet victory versus Dartmouth has to be great. However, he's got to look at more victories as a possibility this year, many more, hopefully.
That's true, Paul. This obviously is the most gratifying game of Jerry Burnt's career. And, you know, Jerry Burnt went through some very hard times at DePauw University, his first year there also. He went, I believe, 2-7 his first year at DePauw, and he turned that program around in his second year. So maybe history will repeat itself at Pennsylvania. Of course, there is no way that Pennsylvania wants to become complacent now. They want to be hungrier. They shouldn't be satisfied unless they go 10-0 this season, and I'm sure that Jerry Burnt will savor this victory for maybe a half an hour. Maybe on the bus ride home, he'll start designing plays for the next opponent, being the Lehigh Engineers next week at Franklin Field. That, of course, will be a 1:30 start for all you people that want to attend the game at Franklin Field. And if you're listening to the game over WXPN, you can hear Coach's Corner at 1 o'clock. Coach's Corner, of course, being hosted this year by Paul Jalovitz, who I had the enviable task. I said enviable, not unenviable task, although some people would beg to differ. The enviable task of driving up to Dartmouth with and announcing the game with this afternoon. And, Paul, it's really been a pleasure doing the game with you and being with you, with your company the last few hours. And We're just about to wrap it up here. Let's give the scores. Once again, Pennsylvania going up 21-0. Jeff Schulte with a 7-yard touchdown pass about 5 or 6 minutes into the ball game, and the Quakers, on their first offensive drive of the game, marched methodically down the field, culminating in Schulte's 7-yard touchdown reception. Carl Hall gave the Quakers a 14-0 lead about 4.5 minutes into the second period, a 5-yard touchdown pass, again culminating a fairly long Pennsylvania Quaker offensive drive. And in the third quarter, a 41-yard bomb, Vera to Hall, rounded out the scoring. Schulman, of course, converting all three times on the extra point. Pennsylvania winning convincingly 21-0. Paul?
John, I wish I could say it's been a pleasure to be with you. No, all kidding aside, it has been a pleasure to work with you, John. Did a good job as always. It's been a pleasure riding up with you, although, well, looking at that now. Pennsylvania having won 21-0 today. Looks forward, I think, to a very good season, John. Nothing but good can come out of this game, and hope we can do a couple more together this year, maybe.
Well, if I'm around the Philadelphia area, I'd love to be announcing more games. Anyway, Paul, you couldn't have asked for a better victory. Jerry Burt could not have, if he wanted the game to go exactly the way he planned it to be, he could have not have asked for anything more. Just a truly incredible victory for Pennsylvania, 21-0 at Dartmouth. We've been extremely complimentary, highly laudatory of the Quakers' efforts, and they are to be extremely commended. Just absolutely unbelievable. The Quakers prevailing 21-0. So, for Paul Jolovitz, for Ross Wiener, our engineer back in the station, this has been John Fine telling you that once again the final score in a shocking upset, Pennsylvania 21, Dartmouth 0, and reminding you that this has been another WXPN sports presentation. We'll be right back.